Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriot. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
It's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
I
As long as time lasts, and we'll always fight to protect our families and our home and our homeland. It's all for God and country, no matter what country we find ourselves in. We are all God's children. And God, again, we ask your blessings upon our troops and upon America, and we pray for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And we ask that you deliver us from evil, in whatever form it might take.
Hey there! Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah!
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world. Or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy-believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns.
How to blame everyone else for your problems.
How to show the world just how wonderful you are.
The art of virtue signaling.
The basis of race, gender, and intersectionality.
The truth about American history.
Problematic books.
And how to tell if a baby is racist.
All right, everybody. It is Sunday night. You are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Thank you so much for making your way here. My co-host is not able to join us tonight. She got scheduled to work tonight, but she will be back next week. So it looks like we already have a couple people on the switchboard that are willing to keep me company, which is a good thing. And, of course, I played the song Color Me America by Dolly Parton. She's one of my favorite artists since I can remember, and that's one of my favorite songs of hers. And then, of course, my favorite holiday commercial, spoof commercial to play is the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll. I usually can't resist playing that during the holiday season. Did you all go out on Black Friday and buy yourself that Vaccinate Me Elmo doll for your kids? Just kidding. Anyway, of course, it's been another, eventful week going on with stuff to talk about. Hopefully, everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And a lot of y'all probably had a long weekend as the result. So hopefully everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you guys have all, eaten your turkey leftovers and things by now. And so besides that, good news for pro-Second Amendment folks that happened this week. Gun owner laws struck down in Maryland and here in Oregon. I'm kind of bummed out that Valerie wasn't able to make it because Oregon's Measure 114 that she has been all over, that's kind of how she and I crossed paths, was she was all over the hearings, the court hearings and stuff involving Measure 114 and posting updates and stuff on it. So it kind of sucks that she's not here. But I'm going to try to hit that subject up adequately in her absence. I do have a clip that I'm thinking of playing by Armed Scholar. He put out that he describes it pretty well. Maryland and Oregon both laws mostly involving permit to purchase portions of constitutional. I'm hoping we see more of that. And also at the same time, gun ownership article is at a record high. Firearms are a majority of households, according to a study. The Washington, D.C. latest claim to fame is that it hit 100 carjackings in 1 year, in over 1 year on Thanksgiving Day. So, apparently Washington, D.C. has a carjacking problem, and apparently if I pull up the article, maybe we'll talk about this a little further into the show, but I think it's something like 77% of those carjackings in Washington, D.C. are using a firearm, and, Washington, D.C. is supposed to be so anti-gun, It's a safe space, right? Maybe not so much. Proud of their Washington, D.C. with all those carjackings. Thanksgiving pro-Palestine protesters made a pretty big disruption at the Macy's Thanksgiving parade. So a lot to be thankful for there, right? Then a federal jury convicts an Iowa woman of 52 counts of voter fraud. I thought voter fraud didn't happen. I thought that we weren't supposed to talk about that, but apparently, we were just conspiracy theorists and we were just making stuff up and making big deals out of nothing. But, when a federal jury convicts one person of 52 counts of voter fraud, no big deal, right? A topic that I would like to try to get to tonight, secretive White House surveillance programs gives law enforcement access to trillions of U.S. phone records without warrants, of course. This is kind of a big news, and it happened. And so basically, anybody that has a
phone provider with AT&T or uses T's infrastructure, their lines. So it could be a different provider, but they're using AT&T's infrastructure. AT&T just willingly hands over, you know, phone records galore whenever it's law enforcement asks for it. With or without a warrant, doesn't really matter. They, you know, the police can, you know, can surveil not just the person that they're interested in, but that person's friends, that person's coworkers, and their friends and their coworkers. They can have a pretty broad scope with getting all of these phone records. So, you know, nothing to be concerned about there either, right? And then I did just see, we've talked about this before, the gig worker tax. You know, they were going to be sending out 30 million tax forms to people that have earned more than $600 on PayPal or Venmo, other things like that. Well, guess what? The IRS, because of the pressure, has decided to cancel that gig worker tax reporting this year. They're going to delay that. This is after, of course, Democrats are the ones that pushed to implement it in the first place. So they're getting a bit of backlash on that, and so we get a year of relief on that. So if you made more than $600 via PayPal, you know, selling some of your old stuff, you know, you're going to be okay. You're not going to have to report that on your taxes this year. So, you know, be thankful for that, right? And then also I saw that Russia put the spokesman for Facebook owner Meta on their wanted list. A while back, apparently, I think it was in May, Russia actually declared Meta a terrorist organization. You know, are they really, is Russia wrong about that? I'm kind of inclined to agree with Russia on that. With how Facebook has operated and with their, not only this, their censorship, but their manipulation of, you know, the if you've ever seen the documentary called The Creepy Line, it gets into a lot of how Facebook actually does manipulate elections. It's basically a form of mind control. And suppressing, you know, some candidates while lifting others. And of course that was, you know, that was a total made up conspiracy theory type of thing too at the time, but it's been shown more and more how they actually do it and manipulate your feed, manipulate what you see, manipulate whose posts you see. And we see it all the time. So I thought that that was kind of interesting. And on, let's see. So I know I see Robert and I see Mike and I see Skype caller. Maybe that's Sarge. I'm not sure. Hopefully so. Hopefully it's Sarge. Before I bring you all in, I do want to play this clip from Armed Scholar. Magazine ban permanently struck down and ruled unconstitutional. This is about the case here in Oregon. That good news just came in on Wednesday. And so I'm going to go ahead and play this because, of course, Armed Scholar breaks it down much better than I can. And in Valerie's absence, I know Valerie would be all over talking about this, but it was a 44-page decision that the judge wrote up, so pretty detailed. I'm going to go ahead and kick this off, and then once this clip is over, then I'll start bringing people in, and we can start discussing this and anything else that I've already previously mentioned, in addition to who knows whatever else we'll talk about, right? So here we go, 3, 2, 1, and launch.
So we just received some huge news. Oregon Measure 114's Firearms Purchase Permit and the state's magazine ban that was put in place through Measure 114 was just found unconstitutional and was struck down with a permanent injunction. So we need to talk about this huge win that just happened out of Oregon. But real quick before you jump into this video, if you think these types of purchase permits and magazine bans clearly violate the Second Amendment, go ahead and hit that like button and subscribe. Also want to thank the sponsor of this video, which is Kershaw Knives. Kershaw makes some of the best knives available on the market if you're looking for a quality EDC knife. I carry the Kershaw Iridium knife every single day for my EDC, and I cannot recommend them enough if you need a knife. And right now, if you order using the code YT20SCHOLAR, you can get 20% off of your order and free shipping on orders of $50 or more. So head on over to Kershaw Knives, pick yourself up a quality EDC knife, and again, thank you to Kershaw Knives for sponsoring and supporting this two-way content. So like I mentioned in the intro, we just received a huge decision just maybe about 30 minutes ago coming out of the state of Oregon. And it was a huge win against the state of Oregon's magazine ban and their permit to purchase restrictions. Oregon Measure 114, which put in place a statewide permit to purchase and a magazine ban, was just ruled unconstitutional and struck down in its entirety. The state court judge in this case just issued a permanent injunction and his final decision against Measure 114. This specific case we're going to be talking about in this video and the decision that was just issued is the Arnold v. Kotek case, and it's a state lawsuit under the Oregon State Constitution. The Arnold case, again, is a state lawsuit filed by GOA against the state of Oregon and Measure 114. So again, huge shout out to GOA for this specific win, for this decision. And if you want to support the two-way cause, especially if you're in Oregon, go check out GOA and donate to them because they're the ones who got this decision for you. Now, the last time we talked about this specific state Arnold case, I informed you that the judge in this case extended the TRO, which barred the permit scheme from going into effect. And also he granted a preliminary injunction, which barred the magazine ban from also going into effect on a temporary basis. This was a significant temporary win in the case, which ultimately prevented Measure 114 from fully going into effect. However, now in this case, it's all come to a head and we got a full ruling on the merits of the case. And the state court judge here, Robert Roscio, has ruled that Oregon Measure 114 in its entirety is unconstitutional and he's issued a permanent injunction. So we need to talk about what happened in this order and then what happens now going forward. Now, for those not familiar with Oregon Measure 114, let me explain generally what it did. Measure 114 first required that anyone purchasing a firearm had to get a permit to purchase. To obtain the permit to purchase, the resident would need to go through a bunch of safety training courses, go through a background check, get fingerprinted, show a valid ID, and then they could get a permit from their issuing agency. Under Measure 114, it would be generally unlawful for you to buy, sell, or transfer any firearms to anyone else unless that person receiving the firearm had a permit to purchase and also went through a background check. That rule also applied to all private party transfers and transactions, so it was a significant deal and it would pretty much create a huge roadblock to people being able to acquire and purchase firearms. Now, to obtain the permit, you would need to go to your local police chief, the county sheriff, or whoever, and submit an application, and then go through all those requirements, the background check, fingerprinting, training course, all of that, and then also pay some fees. However, Measure 114 did not just stop with creating a permit to purchase. It did not just put in place that restriction on its own. The second significant thing that this measure did is it created a ban on the sale, purchase, transfer, and possession of any standard capacity magazines. And again, that was after the effective date of the measure. And under the measure, there was a future ban, a prospective ban on any magazine that could hold more than 10 rounds. But those in possession of magazines beforehand, before the effective date, would have certain magazines grandfathered in. Now, one of the major issues with Oregon Measure 114 was that there was no way that it could be implemented fully by the original deadline, which was set for December 8th of last year. Now, in response to this, multiple lawsuits were launched on the federal level and the state level. GOA, Gun Owners of America, filed this state lawsuit, which is Arnold v. Kotek. And then there was also a federal lawsuit, which we talked about on the channel, which is the OFF v. Kotek case. Arnold is the case we're talking about in this video, and it challenged the measure using the state of Oregon's constitution, while the federal lawsuit, the OFF case, challenged it under federal law and then also the Second Amendment at large. Now, originally, the federal court judge in the OFF case put a temporary halt on the permitting scheme, the permit to purchase, and pretty much just prevented it from going into effect for 30 days from that original deadline, which was December 8th. However, in the Arnold state lawsuit, the Harney County Circuit Court judge, Judge Robert Roscio, granted an outright TRO, which halted the permitting scheme altogether temporarily, and then also the magazine ban as well temporarily. And that was, again, a temporary halt, a temporary TRO. And then subsequent to some of those TROs, he also issued a preliminary injunction, which, again, just simply meant that there was going to be a temporary halt on Measure 114, and that was, again, issued by Judge Robert Roscio. But the big question going forward was what was going to happen, what was his final decision going to be? And we just got the decision from Judge Robert Roscio out of the Harney County Circuit Court there in Oregon. Judge Roscio just stated in his order that the Harney County Circuit Court is issuing a permanent injunction under Oregon Revised Statute 28.020, declaring ballot measure 114 unconstitutional, thereby permanently enjoining its implementation. The order goes on to state that the court is preventing the undue burden of ballot measure 114 from being imposed on current and prospective gun owners who have a right to lawfully possess firearms for the purposes of defending themselves and the state against imminent threats of harm. The court, using its equitable power, declares and adjudges ballot measure 114 facially unconstitutional in all of its applications under Oregon Constitution Article 1, Section 27. Ballot measure 114 is permanently enjoined from implementation. So again, that is a huge win. You just had a state court, a state judge in Oregon, strike down Oregon measure 114, their permit to purchase, and then also their magazine ban. The judge in this case used Bruin and also reviewed the Oregon state constitution to find that the gun purchase permit restrictions and then also the magazine ban is in fact unconstitutional. Therefore, he struck it down in its entirety. Now, the question I think for a lot of people in Oregon is what happens now going forward. Now, keep in mind there was already a TRO and a preliminary injunction which prevented the permit to purchase and the magazine ban from going into full effect. I suspect that that will completely remain the same, and now even more so will have full force and effect because of this permanent injunction and this final merits decision by the judge here, Judge Robert Roscio. The question, of course, going forward is what is the state of Oregon going to do? I have pretty much no doubt that they will appeal and eventually try to take this up to the Oregon State Supreme Court and try to litigate this in front of the state Supreme Court at some point. But I think a lot of you probably have questions about maybe the state in some way getting a temporary stay on this decision and what would the impact of that be. I would suspect that nothing is really going to change for you in Oregon specifically because there was already those TROs and already those preliminary injunctions which protected your ability to purchase and acquire magazines and still purchase and acquire guns because of those TROs and preliminary injunctions. Even if there is an appeal and a request for a stay, I think the status quo is going to remain the same in the interim, meaning that the higher courts probably will not all of a sudden just drastically change the status quo, will not just say, okay, we're going to take back all these things. We're going to let Measure 114 go into full effect, even though it never actually went into effect. Because again, keep in mind, Oregon Measure 114 was never actually allowed to go into full force and effect in its entirety. So again, huge win. I am very happy for you guys in Oregon. Coming from someone in California with our magazine ban and all the other things we have here, I'm very jealous of you guys in Oregon. Huge shout out to GOA. This is a huge win. And again, it's just setting the stage for more wins, more magazine ban wins going forward. Again, we have the Ninth Circuit right now in the Duncan v. Bonta case. The Ninth Circuit en banc panel is reviewing that case out of California. So again, things are moving in the right direction. You are seeing that not only on a state level, but a federal level, these types of laws are being struck down because of what the Supreme Court said in Bruin, and we are heading in a right direction. So again, huge win. Shout out to GOA. If we get any more information, if anything else develops, I will let you guys know. If you like this video and you would like to support the channel, one of the best ways to do that is to like, comment, and subscribe. All those things help to fuel the algorithm, and it signals to YouTube that you guys see value in these videos and in this type of two-way news. As always, I want to thank everybody who likes, comments, subscribes, who hits the notification bell, who shares these videos. You guys are directly impacting these videos, impacting this channel, and helping me to reach and educate more people than I could ever do my own. So as always, thank you all for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And never forget, this nation was built for arm scholars, and this nation will be maintained for arm scholars.
And there we have it. So, yes, this is very good news for us Oregonians. Of course, there's already an appeal in the works, but I think with the judge's write-up, that 44-page write-up, he really did try to cover all of the bases and not give an appeal very much ground to work with, I think. So hopefully this sticks. And so now I am going to go ahead and bring in some of the Misfits crews that that's in the switchboard. So we got Robert, Conservative Nation Media. I'm bringing you on in. And I'm going to bring Mike on in. And I'm going to bring Boyd on in. And, of course, if you're out there, you want to call in and join the conversation, please do so. 563-999-3698. And then press number 1, that raises your hand in the switchboard, lets me know you'd like me to bring you on. I'm going to also bring in Gunslinger. He just rose his hand. And they are also in the chat room. So hello, hello. How's everybody doing? Everybody
Hi.
Recovering from their Thanksgiving?
Oh, I'm having fun myself.
Well, you know, that may be the case, but you're still in a liberal state, and I don't know how stacked that state Supreme Court is with liberal judges who tend to ignore, you know, the stays and the other things on matters like this, you know, and yeah, it'll go up to the Supreme Court, Lorianne, but we don't know how the state Supreme Court is going to go with this. The Oregon State Supreme Court is going to go with this decision, or you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too, because of course, you know, Oregon is predominantly a Democrat, liberal ruled state. And so, yeah, this Harney County judge, you know, that's southeastern Oregon or so. You know, so once you get out of the, you know, Portland, Salem, you know, Eugene kind of valley, the rest of the state is pretty much conservative. And so this is good news. But like I said, I'm hoping that if we, you know, that we, when we do see this case go up to the Oregon Supreme Court, that their hands are kind of tied. You know, they can't really argue a whole lot with what transpired with the court case. I remember watching as much of it as I could. Valerie was definitely posting on every step of the way on this, so I am missing her tonight. But we'll see. You know, I think that, you know, the main focus of this, you know, using Bruin in a way, but, you know, he mostly stuck with, you know, the Oregon Constitution and tried to keep federal decisions out of it as much as possible. But using that same strategy, you know, with applying the meaning of our own right to bear arms and the writing of it and the timing of it, and using that as the justification. And so I'm glad, because, you know, that the other part of Measure 114 is that it would create a database for law enforcement would be, you know, responsible for maintaining, which doesn't exist. And getting some feedback there. Who's got a foghorn in the background?
Somebody's snoring.
Not me, because I had mine.
Sounds like a foghorn.
Not me. Gunslinger? No, I don't think he does.
Okay, it seems like it's okay now. Go ahead.
I got a question. This measure, how was it passed? Was it passed in the legislature? Or on a referendum vote?
No, it was voter. It was voter. It barely passed. It passed by 50.6%. So not even a percentage point. So it was very narrowly passed. And the thing is, too, is when with Oregon measures, they're really not tested for their own legality. You know, so voters can push forth just about any kind of new legislation that they want, and it's not really scrutinized. There's, you know, it's not really, you know, like, is this really legal? Is this really constitutional? You know, like that, you know, that's part of what's wrong with it. And there's a lot of, I remember a lot of voters that actually voted for it, you know, because they're, oh, that's reasonable, you know, the background checks and require the permit, you know, for safety and all that. A lot of them didn't really realize the impact that the measure would have. You know, they didn't really think it through. They didn't actually read the legislation. They just, you know, read the headlines and that kind of thing. And then there was voter regret with a lot of people that are like, oh, wait a minute, you know, I wouldn't have voted for this if I understood that, you know, this was really how it was going to work. And
yeah, well, there you go. So I can guarantee you this, okay? The Oregon Supreme Court is going to vote in favor of the law and reinstate it and everything. Why? Oh, because the citizens of the state want it. And it, who cares about what the Constitution says? The citizens voted this in, and it, so it will be in. So, you know, this is going to have to go to the feds.
Yeah,
sorry,
but by a simple majority, I have a feel, you know, I wish we could do, you know, I don't even want a do-over, but if we did have a do-over, I think that, you know, with more awareness now, I think that it wouldn't pass because people are more aware of what it really does. And then I do see Pianchi raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Pianchi into the fold. And then I also have a Skype caller. Maybe it's Sarge. I'm not sure. But, hey, Pianchi, good to see you.
The laugh at all this. No voter referendum can trump the United States Constitution. I mean, that's just, it's the Constitution that even allows voters to become voters. Until people stand up and say, we ain't going to do it, you're going to be going back and forth with this fisticuff, is what it is, over and over again. Just wait till the next crop of judges take their bench. And until you remove one of them and send them a message, a shot across the bow, they're going to continue to play these games. It just don't make any sense. You know, I know, I mean, just think about it. What's the need of voting? You vote locally. You vote state. You vote federally. Then you let a judge tell you, no, that ain't right. Or you have a group of people come on and referendum and say, hell, they could reenact slavery if they wanted to by referendum. You tell them courts, the courts do not make laws. All they do is listen to arguments and give an opinion. It's just like a living room discussion at your house where grandpa say, well, this is what it's going to be. That's all it is. And kids hard-headed say, well, grandpa, I ain't going to do that. Too old for you to be whooping my ass anymore. That's my opinion.
I agree. You know, and that's the other thing, too, is Oregon – via voter measure, the same way can modify the Oregon Constitution as well. The same method, same simple majority. So now that this hasn't worked, the next thing I could see happening is a measure that goes to the voters to change our Constitution when it comes to gun rights. They could change that verbiage. They could, you know, completely, you know, so that it allows the state to implement regulations like this. And it would go by simple majority vote. And then, poof, Oregon Constitution has changed. It's way too easy, in my opinion. And I'm going to go ahead and bring Skype caller in, find out if Hopefully it's Sarge. Maybe it's Gondo. Hey, Skype caller, who do we got?
This is Brother Warren from New Orleans, calling from China, you racist white lesbian.
Hi, Montana Joe. You're using Skype again, I see.
Yep. How you doing?
All right, going right.
Doing well. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving too. And yeah, I haven't missed Brother, you know, Brother Warren. He doesn't really enter my mind until you come on and remind me.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely gave
me.
Well,
he's calling from China. He'd probably be located in China, so no problem. Hello.
Hello.
Everybody
you
got
sure
quiet.
You sure know how to make the crowd go quiet.
I practiced that. Okay. So, like I said, he relocated to China, and there we go. All right. So, continue on with the discussion. I just came in to say hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, come on. You got something you're going to say anyway, so let's get on with it. What do you got to say?
That'll be later.
Yeah, get on with it so we can ignore the rest of Laurie Ann's subjects she wants to talk about.
Well, yeah, I'll do that in a little while when we get on a topic. That's something else.
But yeah. Lorianne, the other thing you mentioned about this person that got popped for voter fraud up there, was it Iowa?
Yeah, Iowa woman,
I believe there was a woman about a year ago or whatever it was that got popped for voter fraud down there in Houston. I want to say not too far from where Gunslinger is because that's 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours away. From North Dallas, you know, but yeah, there was somebody that got popped for voter fraud. So in Houston, so people are getting popped all over the place for voter fraud. You know, so
yeah, I'm trying to pick up. I'm looking up the article on it to get. Cause I know I posted it before, and I wanted to bring that up here. I'm scrolling. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, okay. So federal jury convicts Iowa woman of 52 counts of voter fraud. An Iowa woman could spend years in prison following a conviction on 52 counts of voter fraud. Kim Fong Taylor, 49, of Sioux City, was convicted by a jury of 26 counts of providing false information in registering and voting, 3 counts of fraudulent registration, and 23 counts of fraudulent voting, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Taylor's husband, Jeremy, ran as a Republican for Congress in the West 4th District. He came in third behind who would go on to win the race, and then come Steve King, according to Ballotpedia. Jeremy Taylor was elected to the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors during the 2020 general election, a position that he still holds. Jeremy Taylor helped others submit fraudulent voting registrations, absentee ballots, and absentee ballot applications, according to the DOJ. Taylor completed and signed voter forms without voters' permission and told others that they could sign on behalf of relatives who were not present, the DOJ said in the news release. She was arrested in January. Each of the 52 counts carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison. Kim Taylor will be sentenced at a later date. Here you go. You know, of course, there's, you know, this stuff can happen. Now, I don't know the impact that this had, if it had any impact on any of the races. The article doesn't really say, but, you know, it's kind of like roaches. You know, if you see one, you know, if one is discovered, you know you got more than that going on. And so you got to think about, like, the accumulation effect of, you know, if there's this one person doing it in one state, you know it's happening elsewhere. And, you know, and guess what? You know, both sides will do it, too. In addition to that, I also saw an article, the Arizona Attorney General is attacking full hand counting. Two counties in Arizona are considering it for 2024 elections. The practice of hand counting ballots in Arizona has become contentious as the Democratic State Attorney General threatened Mojave County with criminal prosecution, while a state appeals court has prohibited Tosice County from hand counting all ballots in future elections. The two counties in Arizona have considered hand counting all ballots in elections rather than just sample hand recounts after using machines to tabulate the ballots. You know, the article goes on, but, like, that right there kind of sends a few chills up my spine. You know, it's like, okay, so why would they be so against actual hand counting of ballots instead of using machines? Gee,
well,
you know.
There again goes to show you the zealous overreach of a damn judge. The judiciary is the least power, even at the federal. Supreme Court is the least power. But my goodness, someone reported that about 90-some-odd percent of what rules America, that is laws, they rule. They was never voted on by Congress or state legislature. They're rules that someone that's reading a law based on what they think it says, they make up a rule that apply to all citizens. That shit's got to stop.
Especially, you know, especially when we have one side that follows the, quote, rules, okay, and the other side wants to not follow the rules. The rules say you can, you know, go to nursing homes and take voters voting and all this stuff. If the rules say that and one side doesn't and the other side doesn't, the one side that doesn't do it is stupid for not doing it. Because it's a rule and not a law. You're not breaking a law. You're breaking a rule. You're not following the rule, and the rule says you can do it. You're stupid for not doing it. In other words, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But in some cases, it's like, you know, sometimes the courts do a good thing, you know, like what happened here with Measure 114, and then other times they try to stand in the way, you know, and it's like, who is a judge to say whether or not a county, you know, if a county decides, hey, we're going to hand count our ballots instead of using the machines, then, you know, what authorization does a judge have to thwart that?
He has no authorization whatsoever. He's bullying. He has no authorization.
Absolutely. And the best example of the most high-profile example of what you're talking about, Pianki, is the whole thing with the National Bank back in President Jackson's administration, where the Supreme Court says, you will recognize the National Bank as the National Bank, which is, the National Bank is the Bank of England, but that's neither here nor there. You will recognize it, and President Jackson goes, well, fuck you, I'm not going to recognize it, you know? And he didn't recognize it. you know. So that's the deal. Now, that was a political thing as well, but that's not the point. The point is what you're saying is true. A lot of these so-called opinions are just that. They're opinions.
Well, yeah, and see, courts, you know, you can go down in our lifetime, and now we realize that the Supreme Courts are not supposed to, interracial marriage, they wasn't supposed to get involved. Same-sex marriage, they wasn't supposed to get involved in that. And people don't have to abide by that. They don't have no, what, they got an army? The only time that they can inflict some monetary damage is when it comes down to torts. But all this other stuff that they're making, these rules, it is because people just let that stuff happen. It's just awesome. It's amazing that people let shit like that go on.
They should never have gotten involved in abortion. They should just let Roe versus Wade just go away. You know, I mean, they did, but I'm not. Originally, they should never have gotten involved in Roe. You know.
No, they shouldn't. Hey, I like to go back to the days of Judge Roy Bean. He was a better judge than anything I see today, other than Thomas and Alito.
The hanging judge. Yep.
And that's another thing. Some of these punishments should be carried out publicly. Go back to the gallows where people can see. That puts a deterrence in the minds of some fools. When you have individuals like the group you just mentioned that went to the courts in order to stop hand counting, well, somebody needs to draw a lawsuit up against them. They're trying to deny you of your constitutional rights. Your constitutional protections.
Here, you got to look at this again. You know, hanging, okay? The rope, which is the hanging, the rope equals justice, and justice is served, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was back here, you know, back here in the Wild West days, you know. You didn't have a whole lot of crime. Yeah, you had crime. You always have crime, okay? There's nothing you can do about that. But there was a whole hell of a lot less crime back then. When you had public hangings, okay, did two things. Scared the shit out of the person that was fixed to be hung because they built that hangman deal right out the jailhouse window. So he could see every day how they building that thing that he's fixed to swing from. And you invite the public. Sell popcorn, sell Coke, sell all kinds of shit. See here, you do that, your ass is going to be up there. And it worked. Worked 100%.
Well, you know, you hit a good point there, Gunslinger. Look at this crazy mess today about if you're going to execute somebody, you got to do it very softly and smoothly.
Oh, softly. Oh, yeah. Don't want to hurt nobody. I mean, we don't want to make him suffer when the victim just stabbed, or I mean, when the guy just stabbed the victim 37 times with a damn butcher knife.
Mm-hmm.
Painful as that. Cut your finger and see how painful that is. Now imagine being stabbed 37 times with a big old butcher knife. Blood gushing all over everything. Goddamn oil.
Think about this. Back in the Middle Ages, Gunslinger, think about this. Back in the Middle Ages, what they do. When they had hangings back then, too, but they also had, what? Beheadings. They sent you to the Alps.
Guillotine, the guillotine.
Yep.
Okay. Chop, chop.
Yep.
End of problem.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But today, they just give you a slap on the wrist. Oh, now you're going to get this little drug here, and you'll go sleepy in dreamland, and, you know, you won't ever have to worry about anything. Cut his fucking head off. That's what I say. Get the rope. Let him suffer as bad as his victim suffered. 10 times worse. What the Bible says. Suffer 10 times worse. There you go.
I mean, yeah, what do you think? What do you think humans were for? If you're going to have somebody male working in your harem and you didn't want him producing babies from your women, you cut his damn nuts out.
Right.
That stop him from raping?
Yep.
Yep,
they sure will.
Yeah.
I got my own opinions. I'm going to bring, I see Joe Gibson is raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him into the conversation. Hello, Joe Gibson, you are on. Hey, how's it going?
Hello, all Joe. Right. Pretty rough crowd out here tonight, as I can see. Boy, you want to hang somebody, huh?
Yeah, we hanging people.
Chop their heads off.
We hanging. Chop them. Chop.
I thought you would have flinched when we talked about cutting off nuts.
Yeah, that's it. It's
called the gallows. It's called gallows. When you were talking about the hanging thing, it's called, yeah.
I'm still, you know, once upon a time, I used to, you know, be in favor of the death penalty, but my tune has changed. Because I just think that, you know, that is just way too much authority to give the state and to give government is the ability
yes.
to systematically kill people.
And
especially when, all you know, one mistake is one mistake too many in my mind. You put an, you know, it when... They don't get it right when the when a person is executed by the state and it is later found that they were not guilty of it, new evidence arises, they weren't guilty of it, but they're gone, they're dead. You know, we cannot, you know, at least I cannot stomach allowing the state, and as it is, as corrupt as the courts are, as corrupt as our legislators are.
Exactly.
As corrupt as our law enforcement, you know, it is, I cannot hand them the authority with a good conscience to put somebody, you know, to death and allow them that authority, especially when they don't get it right. And guess what? You know what? That needle that's supposed to be so humane really isn't. That gets botched up so many times, and it is extremely painful when that happens. You know, it's actually the most effective and most pain-free way to execute somebody is by firing squad. It isn't pretty, you know, it's a bloody fucking mess, you know, but it is the most effective way of doing it. You know, and sometimes, you know, there are some psychos out there that really challenge, you know, my stance on the death penalty, they really do. They're really tempting to, you know, make the exception. Serial killers, torturers, people, kids, you know, it really gets tempting.
Well, let me ask you this.
But I still can't get past the fact that you're giving the government that much authority.
Let me ask you this question.
Here's one thing. Here's also another thing you have to consider in that, okay? Usually the jury is the one that makes that decision.
Well, here's a case, too. What about assisted suicide? Here's the individual suffering from pain and all sorts of things that's horrible in his life, and he wants to end it. But no, you got people say, no, you shouldn't end your life. It's one thing for a jury to decide that a person who's obvious, without a reasonable doubt, that they committed this crime, raped this child. You don't want them to be put to death. But what about a person that wants to die?
Knock, knock, knock. Look, you know, there's no perfect society or system. We already know that. We know that's always the way it's been, probably all the way it will be. But when you have somebody that has concrete evidence that this person murdered this guy, you've got witnesses, you've got DNA, you've got fucking video cameras and everything like that, shoot him. Okay? Because why would you want this perpetrator, this person that killed this person, why would you want him walking around, even though he may be in jail for the rest of his life, okay, in prison or whatever, all right, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the air, even though it's in incarceration, no doubt about it, okay? waking up every morning to that beautiful sunrise that we see every freaking day and that beautiful sunset every freaking night when the victim is 6 foot fucking under in cold fucking ground, never to see that again. So what's fair here?
I don't think there's any beautiful sunrise in prison or beautiful sunset. I don't think you can see it through the little slit in the wall that you get for a cell window in a maximum security prison, because that's where you'll be for murder. You know?
Yeah, you can.
But,
if you're on the west side, you can. If you're on the west side, you can.
Well, you know, and then don't forget you have the other inmate population. You know, you're in there fighting for your life. You're in there, you know, it's another world in there. It's another city. It's another society. They have their own rules that we don't, that if you've never been in there, you don't understand, you know. So it's a different way of life. And if you get into the wrong prison where there's all gangs, forget about it. You know, you might not make it anyway. So, you know, I mean.
Here's the deal, guys. So you've got certain crimes that, I guess what I want to term is a prescribed thing. If you can prove that crime, a prescribed death penalty, and you can prove that crime, that person X did that crime, you know, then use that prescribed death penalty to get rid of that guy or gal, you know. And the example I always give is the whole thing about treason. And what does the Constitution say is the death penalty, is the penalty for treason? Gunslinger?
Hanging by.
There you go.
Well, you know,
there you go.
Even, you're, everybody is capable of being this, especially when you carry a gun for self-defense. Even if you use a gun for self-defense in your own home, when you shoot a person in self-defense, okay, you have become the judge, the jury, and the executioner within seconds, okay, within seconds. All right, because how long does it take to pull the trigger on a gun? Heartbeat, okay, literally a heartbeat. So we're all capable of doing it. There ain't no doubt about that. Okay, you're going to fight or flight. It's one of the two. You're going to stand your ground and fight, or you're going to run like a coward. Okay, so, but it's the same thing with the death penalty. You are doing the same thing. The evidence is there. The guy's fixed to kill your ass, rape your wife, rape your dog, whatever. Okay, and you ended that person's life. Same thing with the death penalty. Only instead of doing it by a needle, you did it with a Dr. Love lead. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you can't really take a self-defense situation and equate it to somebody going through a trial, being found guilty, and being issued the death penalty as the consequence. They're two very different scenarios. With a self-defense situation is a self-defense situation. You know, it's going to be either your life or their life. You know, that person is violating you directly. You know, they've broken into your house, or, you know, they're threatening you. You know, they brandish a knife or something, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but they are a direct and immediate threat to your life. And that's a very different circumstance than it is when it comes to the death penalty. So, again, you know, I think kind of equate the death penalty with abortion in a way. It should be very rare and should be, you know, it should be a very rare and last resort type of thing, you know. I don't think it should be common. I don't think that it should be a first resort. You know, very rare circumstances should it be allowed, you know, kind of thing. But like I said, you got to be careful because, you know, every single person that's ever been found guilty and been put to death by the state, that, you know, that was later found innocent, you know, that jury on that in that trial was absolutely sure without a, you know, no reasonable doubt, absolutely sure of convicting that person based on the evidence that was presented during the trial. But we all know there's a lot of evidence that can be suppressed. There's a lot of evidence that a judge can say, no, I'm not going to allow it. And so the jury never sees it. They only get a certain painted picture, and it can be later found that, you know, they have the wrong person.
Right.
They put to death the wrong person. And it doesn't happen often, but like I said, you know, this being able to, for the state to be able to kill one innocent person is one too many, in my mind. Even
well,
so.
But, you guys
well,
go and
I know,
say,
I know.
People in hell will pass water, but that don't mean I get it. No system is perfect. I mean, we know that. Yeah, you're going to have some casualties.
I know a lady that killed hundreds. She killed hundreds of people.
Damn.
And
your neighbor?
She's still walking the streets. Yeah, her name right now escapes me. But it was her testimony before a Congress that killed a whole bunch of people. And it was, her statement was, well, if it saves one life, it'll be worth it. But in the meantime, it killed a whole hell of a lot of people. And what I'm talking about is the airbag you have in your car right now.
Oh yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back then, when the airbags were first coming out, and they had congressional hearings and stuff on them, you know, it was one of those things where they weren't ready to be deployed. Okay. And this lady came out and said that we must deploy them because if it saves one life, it'll be worth it. But the problem was that, yes, the airbags were effective on a standard person, meaning they were whatever tall, however tall they were, and how much they weighed. At the time, the airbags were, they were designed for a standard person, but not anybody else. They were killing people. They were harming people more than
when they were
helping.
They were safe. Yep.
Because if you were too small a person, they could kill you because of the force of the airbag. Okay.
Yep.
If you were too big of a person, it could kill you because it wasn't strong enough for your weight, and people getting impaled on the steering columns anyway because of it, and more people were impaled on their steering columns because, you know, the cap where the your horn was and everything. At least it was it was a wider object that hit. But once the airbag deployed, it became a very narrow pipe, and when you hit it, you get impaled on it. So, but yet this lady is walking around in the name of safety. Joan Claiborne is her name. And she's a real piece of work. I've had to deal with some of that shit with her. You know.
Well,
if it
also
saves one person, you know, bullshit.
Well, also though, when you have a guy that he was in a group that bombed a police headquarters and kill police officers back in the 70s the way Bill Ayers did when he was with the Weather Underground, and he basically got away with murder because he got away with it, okay? So that guy should be 6 feet under someplace, but he got away with it, you know? He's one of the guys that should be 6 feet under and should have been in either in jail or 6 feet under, and he got away with it. That's the thing. Now, as far as, you know, the Texas thing is, I remember one of these comedians that told a joke about a possible law, a possible revision to the death penalty law that he told a story about. There was a referendum or something out there that would have changed the law that said if more than three people saw you compete, if it's so heinous and more than three people saw you do the crime and could identify you doing the crime, you don't just sit there. You go to the front of the line. That's the way things should work. If there's enough evidence out there that shows you doing the crime, and not just DNA, not just anything else, if, like the idea said, if more than three people saw you do that crime, you should go to the front of the line, you know.
It's also, like I said, no system's perfect. But, you know, it's just the same thing with guns. 25 years ago, we didn't have drop-proof guns. What that means is that if you drop a gun, more than likely the damn thing would go off, okay, and shoot somebody, kill somebody. Might even kill you if it was pointing at you. But now, today, we have drop-proof guns. You can drop these son of bitches all day long. It'd be a one in a zillion chance that it would go off. Same thing with the airbags. Look at them. You know, he just said back then they was killing people left and right. Now they don't do that, hardly. I mean, there's still a chance, obviously, but it's a whole lot less chance than it was then. Same thing with the gun.
But there's still the problem with the airbags, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's,
you know,
and I've heard it from first responders, you know, medics and stuff. He says,
"Oh yeah,
there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that are permanently disabled and can't do anything because of the airbags. Because they were in an accident that normally would have killed you. Okay, but because of the airbag, you're alive, but just barely."
Just barely. Yeah.
And that's the way you'll be for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So.
Paralyzed or breaks your back, breaks your neck or something. You know, it's bad stuff.
You know, there's so much stuff that's really ridiculous. You have over 2 million Americans in prison, either state, local, federal level, not the million federal. And at the same time, a lot of these people didn't have the money for defense, so they comped a plea deal. Well, they're going to get out someday. And they're going to get out with no skill like it was when they went in. But then on the other hand, you're bringing all these damn illegals into the country and treating them like carte blanche buffet. Don't we realize that there's something wrong with that picture? What happens when these people do get out of jail? And then everything that they possibly could do, you got an illegal doing it, an American citizen. It don't make any damn sense. At some point in time, you're going to have to draw the line, and you're going to have to put foolishness in the trash can.
Think about this. They teach you when you're in jail, you can go into the auto shop or whatever it is that they have there. They'll teach you a skill, but if you get out of jail and you can't find work doing that skill that they taught you because of these illegals that are here that are probably doing the skill but cheaply, you know, what hope do these people have that have that are getting out of jail, you know?
Well, you know, it's the same. Well, it's the same thing as the airbag deal, seat belts, for example. They kill people too. Okay, you can be trapped in your vehicle upside down. The damn thing catches on fire and you burn to death because you can't get out of your seat belt. It jams or whatever. It's a machine. It's a mechanism. Okay. So, but you got to wear it. Oh, we got to wear it on. State says, oh, we're going to fine you for not having a seat belt on, which could possibly kill you. Okay.
Yeah, and it
exactly.
Seems like
a car accident, you know, that hits close to home, a car accident that I was in when I was 16 years old. I still thank God to this day that I did not wear my seatbelt that day.
Yeah,
otherwise, I would have been crushed. I basically did a 180, ended up on the side of the road in the ditch against the telephone pole. And because it was leaning on the passenger side, my body went, since I wasn't wearing the seatbelt, my body went over to the passenger side of the car, which my best friend was in that passenger side of the car. So my back blocked all of the flying glass from injuring her. But then what also happened is with the impact, the windshield folded inward. My driver's seat went totally forward, bent the steering wheel, and so if I had been wearing my seatbelt that day, I'd be dead right now. I would have been crushed. You know, I would have been crushed between the seat and the steering wheel, and I would have been probably impaled by the windshield, you know, or at least half my skull cut off if I'd been wearing that seatbelt. I'm alive today because I did not wear a seatbelt when I was driving a little, you know, Chevy Chevette, and I didn't see a 25-mile-an-hour curve sign because it was hidden behind trees. The trees hadn't been trimmed, so the sign was obscured. So, you know, the little Chevy Chevette going, you know, 60 miles an hour, hitting a 25-mile-an-hour curve, that doesn't fare very well in those little pieces of tin. And, you know, and it, like I said, it also prevented injury of my best friend because I basically blocked all the flying glass and stuff, shielded her in the process. So you're absolutely right. You know, the seatbelt, yeah, can it save lives? Well, yeah, you know, with certain collisions, but not everything. It can kill you, too. And so that's why I don't think that states should be allowed to impose that kind of a thing to make it mandatory. You know, it's like people should have a choice, you know. And I'm glad I violated the law that day or I'd be dead, you know.
Yep.
Well, I used to religiously wear my seatbelt in my car. I had a 66 Mustang, and I religiously wore that seatbelt in there until the government came out and said it was mandatory. Then my seatbelt got an awful lot of vacation time.
Yep, there you go. Yep.
We all have a story like that. One day, my mom and I were in my dad's it was a Datsun 210, little station wagon type thing, right? Early 80s, you know. And so we were driving along, and every town has a particular intersection that's one of the most dangerous intersections in that town. So we were coming up to this intersection, and this guy who was coming out in not a Cadillac, but a big car, a bigger car than we were in. He was coming out, and he hit us sidelong into the thing. Well, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. I could have went out the windshield, but I didn't because I caught myself on the dashboard. My head hit the windshield, but I didn't go through it. But my mom was damn lucky because it didn't really do that much damage to that car, other than put a hole in the door between the joint of the door and the car. But she could have been impaired. It could have folded that windshield in. It could have broke that side window. It could have done a ton of different things. And those seatbelts are dangerous because if you're wearing a seatbelt, what's that thing called? The whiplash effect? That seatbelt only stretches so far, and when it gets to that point, well, it's going to snap back, and what happens? Your head snaps back, right?
Yeah. Break your back, break your neck, you know, whip your neck. That's how people get their neck broke or their back broke. You know, I carry that little tool on my key ring and on my gun ring or gun belt. The thing that has, you can slash a seat belt, and you put the little thing up there to the window and just punch a little button, and it poof, blows the window out. I got two of those. I carry one on my belt and one on my keychain. So, hell yeah. You know, I'd rather go skipping down the fucking road to take my chance being thrown out of that damn vehicle as it's rolling over and over and over and gas flying all over the place than to be trapped in that damn thing and burned to death. I'll take my chances out there on the road. That's a horrible way to go, is be burned to death. Horrible.
I know it. When I was 18, I was in a car accident, and they didn't have belts in the car, and I went through the windshield, and the only thing that saved me was the car hit a block fence that I was beside, and the police said I'd have probably been killed if I'd have had a seatbelt on.
Yeah, there you go, another one. Yep.
Well, I believe in this. When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And it doesn't matter what gear you wear or not wear, you're going to go. When you get that call, it's over. When I was in school, I had a friend that was killed in an automobile accident. And it was his time to go. He drove that thing off a 20-foot cliff into some rocks at the bottom of the cliff. Somehow, he got out of the car, crawled up the rocks to this was at dead of night. Crawled up the rocks to the road, to the top of the road to get a ride into town. And first car came around that corner that he missed, killed him, hit him.
Damn.
I mean, it was his time. When they did the accident investigation and everything, they said that he should have died in his car at the bottom of the cliff, because but they found no blood, no scrapes, or any marking where he himself had received any injuries from that car crash. And it wasn't until he got up on top and to hitchhike into town and that he got killed. But like I said, it was his time to go, and by God, he was going to go. That was all there was to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like to say, you know, things that, you know, I try to avoid, you know, things that could check you out prematurely. okay? You know, I was an electrician my entire life, okay, master electrician, all that good stuff. I dealt with some pretty dangerous shit. You know, we were up there with police officers and first responders and linemen and all that shit. It's a very dangerous occupation, okay? They should kill you in a heartbeat. I'm still here. I'm 59 years old, and I've, you know, so I try to avoid those things that, you know, that you can get into some very dangerous situations. Turn it off when you can. Have safety procedures when you can. Turn it off, you know. You know, just general stuff like that. And I got through it. So, you know, but there are times, hey, you're right, you know, if the boss decides it's your time to check out, then, you know, at that point you probably couldn't do anything about it. But anything else, I'm going to try to avoid. You know what I mean?
Bruce, I give you.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and bring Ron Reck in. Ron Reck is raising his hand in the switchboard. So,
here we go.
Yeah, Mr. Rule Breaker himself. Bringing him on in. Hey there, Ron. Good to have you on joining us tonight.
Blessed to be my children. God bless me. Thank you. You're welcome. But guys,
you're too funny.
To your point, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I had a friend who, at the time, he was working for DOTD, you know, like laying roads and doing that type of stuff, right? And so he was on one of these big, like, road graders or whatever. But what happened was it broke down, but where it broke down was it broke down on a railroad track. Right? You see where this is going, right? So he got hit. He tried and tried and finally got his things. He finally figured out that he couldn't get it started again. But when he found that out, he found out also that his shoelaces got caught under some of the levers or whatever, and he couldn't get out. He couldn't get off, and here comes the train. Bam. It was his time, you know.
Well, I'm looking at my list here. Most of you fuckers should already be dead. I don't know why you're still here, but according to my list, you should have been sent on, you know, but you're still here. What the hell? Something's wrong. Got to get it fixed.
Yeah, I didn't take the clot shot, so that's probably why I'm still here.
You didn't take the COVID? Oh, my God. You didn't take the COVID shot? What is wrong with you?
Nope, not one single one of them.
Oh, God.
I survived.
She wants to get her, what is it called? What is it called?
I didn't either.
Her COVID Elmo doll or something?
Yeah, well, see.
Yeah, the vaccinate me Elmo doll. Yes.
I got the COVID shot. I got the booster. I got the backup. I got... But everything from Johnson & Johnson to the other ones, I got them all, Pfizer, all them people. I got all the shots.
I didn't get any.
Ron was a good guy. Ron was a real good guy. So sorry to see the feeling you want to spell out. No, I didn't take none of them goddamn government Biden shots. No. And for those who have and are that weak-minded to do it, well, you're on your own. You're retarded. And if you die from it, you deserve what you got. I mean, I know that doesn't sound nice and friendly. Well, I know, and that's why I understand why you're still here. So, but that was sheer stupidity. I mean, I wouldn't have done that, man, in a way. None of it worked. People died from it. That don't make no sense. When the antidote to a virus is more dangerous than the virus itself, there's something wrong. You know, so you think maybe it might be just a little bit wrong. It's crazy, man.
That's
just
a tad.
Why do you?
I saw the saddest thing the other day. One of my leftist Facebook friends, she has a friend that she was trying to find a free COVID shot for her terminally ill friend. The terminally ill friend had previously gotten the clot shots, and simultaneously, their terminal illness, which I believe is cancer, got worse and worse. And you know, I thought it was like the saddest thing for me to see. I'm like, oh my God, she is trying to find a free COVID shot for, you know, a terminally ill friend. And it's like, I had to, it was everything I could do to resist going, you know, no, don't, he's already immune suppressed. He's already, you know, bad off as it is. It's like, you're just going to make it even worse, you know? I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine somebody being.
Did we lose something?
Laurie?
Hello?
Laurie. Hello? Hello?
Laurie.
Do you have Part A and B in your Medicaid? What is your name, sir? What is your zip code? I'm going to send you to my supervisor that's going to help you along with this, get you this free bonus package stuff from the government. What is your name, sir? My name is Bob. I'm here to help you. I am the supervisor over the other bill. So tell me, do you have Part A and B? What is your name, your address, zip code, and do you have your card with you so I can charge up for money to take little outballs to do, to go to school and feed him and get him booked and he learn to speak English? Have you got your package ready? Is your package ready for when you die? Who's going to be your beneficiary? You can get $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, or $20,000 package. Each package comes with
everything.
Okay,
I am back.
Okay.
And I'm bringing Gunslinger back in, too. Apparently, both Gunslinger and I, our calls dropped on us at pretty much the exact same moment. Good time.
Everybody be my friend. Don't tell Laurie all the shit I said while she was gone, okay? Let's get along with it. Be cool.
You want a quick death? Call Ron Rex Rolling Crematorium. You burn them, we burn them. Right, Ron?
That's right, yeah. My cream and go. Crematorium, cream and go. We can come and cook your dead carcass instantly. Is it 30 minutes or it's free? Yeah, my portable
cream
crematorium.
And go. I wouldn't think of it as a cremation service. I'm just saying. Something else comes to mind.
Well, that's one of our branch offices.
Yeah, the cream and go comes to your location. You don't have to go to it. It'll come to you.
Right, it'll come to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got mobile. They bring the body out.
We do more than just bodies. We do more by Cream and Go as a corporation has branches, has different, you know, offerings, you know. We have the cremation truck that comes to your house and cremates the body. Then on the side of the truck, you open up the window door. On the side of the truck, you see all the different urns you can select from, everything from a cigar box to a gold-plated and crested with diamonds and jewels and everything. For the big pimp in you. You know, that's, you know, what you got to do.
Yeah. He's got a
very, very good sound system on his cream and go, and because he can run down through the neighborhood, and it'll have nice music on it, and a voice that will say, "Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!"
That's right.
Ding! Bring out your dead! Ding! Bring out your dead! Is the wreck being a capital?
But he doesn't look dead yet. He doesn't look dead. But he will be. He'll be dead soon. He's just even a child. He's on his way out.
I'm feeling better. I don't want to get on the cart.
So you're going to be gone in a minute. So you that was funny as hell. Monty Python.
Yeah.
Must be royalty. Must be royalty. How can you tell the filthy? Because he got a bunch of shit all over him.
Talking about the cremation, cream and go, I did see this article the other day. Colorado funeral homeowners where decomposing bodies were found returned to state to face charges. Colorado Springs, Colorado. The owners of a defunct Colorado funeral home where 190 sets of decomposing human remains were found, have been returned to the state to face hundreds of felony charges. Carrie Halford appeared in district court in Colorado Springs via video on Wednesday. District Judge Samarin Burney maintained her bail at $2 million cash during the advisement hearing. John Halford's advisement hearing was Friday, and his bail also remained at $2 million. Carrie Halford's public defender had asked for her bail to be reduced to $50,000, citing her lack of a criminal record, but Burney noted she faced more than 250 felony charges. Both Halfords face 190 counts of abuse of a corpse, over 50 counts of forgery, 5 counts of theft, and 4 counts of money laundering, the federal court records say. let's see. So the case began in early October when the report of an abhorrent smell led to the discovery of the bodies at a Return to Nature funeral home location in Penrose, about 34 miles southwest of Colorado Springs. After the bodies were removed, officials said there were 190 sets of remains, with some having been there as long as 4 years. The coroner's office used fingerprints and medical records to try and identify the bodies and would use DNA if necessary, as officials said. Family members had been falsely told that their loved ones had been cremated and had received materials that were not their ashes, the court record said. The couple was arrested on November 8th at the home of John Halford's father in Oklahoma, according to a federal arrest warrant alleging that they fled the state to avoid prosecution. The federal charge was dropped after their arrest. so, yeah, that's a pretty ugly story. And I remember hearing about it when it first came about, and I just, you know, but now there's more details coming up. But 190 bodies, you know, lying to the families, saying, yeah, we cremated them. Here's your family's ashes, you know. How would you feel? I mean, if you're that family member, your loved one died, you get handed back ashes and you have a ceremony and, you know, spread the ashes in their favorite place or, you know, whatever, only to find out later that your loved one's body has been sitting there at the funeral home, rotting away. How, you know, can you just imagine how enraged you would feel about that? It's sickening. Mm-hmm. It's sickening. Why in the fuck would people do this? This is what I don't understand. How, you know, how can these people possibly explain doing this? I hope that this trial, I hope it goes to trial. I really do. That they don't plea out. If this goes to trial, I want this to be public. I want to pay attention to this trial. I want to know. I want to hear it from their own mouths. How the hell they justify that?
It would be like the undertakers be having sex with a damn corpse.
You've been known to do it. There's a name for that. They do. Fucking dead bodies. Yes, they have. People have done it. I know it's sick. But as far as this goes, 190 bodies they didn't cremate. Well, you know. I think they should be exonerated. I don't think they should be charged with anything, really. Because here's why, the real gospel truth on that. The people that are dead really don't care. So it's okay. You know what I'm saying?
It's okay, but again, this is another example of people with ethical problems. Unlike Ron Rick, who has no ethical problems.
I have no ethics.
Yeah. These people have ethical problems, and it's unethical what they did. I mean, the people are expecting their family's ashes. That's what your job is, to burn them and return their ashes.
That's what makes my company outstanding. My company, Cream and Go, you get to actually see us put the body in the cooker. You get to be right there on site when it's being processed. You know, you can keep how many grams of this motherfucker do you want, We're gonna sell grams of this dead body like a dope dealer. All right? What do you want? Grams? 2 grams? What do you want, man? You want an 8-ball? You want a kilo? What do you want, man? Help me out. I'm going to say Uncle Charlie's fucking ass is like dope. So there you go.
I knew a person got a loved one cremated. And when they got an itemized statement from the funeral home, they had grade 5 service on there, $200.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funeral homes get you any way they can. It's bullshit. They get you for all kinds of shit. They do. I had a friend of mine in high school. His parents owned a funeral home, and I got to see the whole fucking deal, how everything's operating that place, man. And he told me, man, he goes, "This is the easiest fucking scam job you could ever want. These dead motherfuckers don't care. They fuck with them. They don't give a shit. Only thing they do is put makeup on them, make them look decent in the head, rest of the body. They don't give a fuck. They've sold organs out of these dead bodies. They've sold shit. Is that crazy? Ain't that something? There's actually a market for fucking parts for dead people, from dead people.
Oh,
ain't
yeah.
that crazy?
I
yeah.
mean, you know, we kind of mentioned euthanasia earlier, and with Canada relaxing their euthanasia laws, so basically, you know, if you want to kill yourself, a doctor will assist you. You know, are you depressed? Yeah, you know, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Well, they're making a shit ton of money off of the organs. Of
sure.
people that elect to, they elect to off themselves for whatever reason that they want to. And Google Bucks is being made off of those organs. It's organ
trafficking galore. Anything to make money, they don't care how they get it. It don't matter, you know.
So
anyway, here's the fun part.
It doesn't be ethical, you know.
Right. There's an actual funeral home that posted on Facebook an advertisement up in Springfield, Missouri. Now they are got a whole new fucking ordeal for dog funerals. It's a crematorium for dogs and shit like that. And it's the same fucking place they cremate the people. They'll cremate a dog and they'll cook a dog in that motherfucker too. You know what I mean? So, but people will pay to have that done. They will pay to have done. And here's another high school memory I'll give you guys. You might like. I had band, all this stuff. Got a gig going this weekend. My buddy Todd lives across the street. I said, "You want to go to this gig?" He goes, "Yeah, man, I'll go, but you got to pick me up at work." I said, "Okay, cool." So I stopped by his work to pick him up. He worked with a veterinarian in the neighborhood to help clean up shit and do stuff, you know, Brian. Anyway, I pull up this motherfucker in this driveway up to this garage outside of the office. Stubby's back garage. He's washing out a fucking casket with a garden hose. I'm like, "Todd, what the fuck are you doing?" He's just washing out this casket, man. I said, "What the fuck do you have a casket for in the first place at a dog place, you know? Or, you know, a veterinarian's office?" He said, "Well, because we sell these." I said, "Well, why are you washing? Don't they come new and ready to go?" He goes, "Well, kind of." He goes, "Wait till we leave here and I'll explain to you the whole operation, how it works." I said, "Okay, cool." Anyway, he had done. He flipped it upside down, put on some sawhorses. He took a punch, and on the bottom of it, he took this punch and he put a little dent in it. The very bottom of this thing, there's a whole bunch of little dips in the bottom of this casket. And I said, "What the fuck does that mean?" He goes, "That means how many times this fucker has been used. Every time I put a dent in it, it's been used. That's the next time it's been used." I said, "There's got to be like 40, 50 fucking dents in that." He goes, "Yeah, 5 times it's been used." And I said, "But how do you sell?" He said, "Well, we bring people in the showroom and we let them see the casket." I said, "No, see the bottom?" He goes, "No, of course not." He goes, "They see the outside." I said, "What about all the dirt and shit? That's why I washed it. And if it looks kind of rough, then I'll get a couple cans of spray paint. I'll spray paint it 2-3 different colors and whatever." I mean, he did good at it. He was good at what he did. As far as making these fuckers look new again, it was fucking crazy. I'm telling you, fucking. But anyway, what they would do is, you know, the old women, he said, especially old women, you know, we get these a lot, you know, they want to cremate Fifi, you know, their poodle. And so we cremate them here, you know, actually, but we don't. We tell them we do. We actually bury dogs, too. But we don't, but we do. I said, "Okay, explain to me the whole detail." He's rolling the cream for me and shit with the dogs. He goes, "What he does, he takes ash and he saves out of his wood burner through the winter, and he fills a little cup or box full of that ash that's in the wood burner. And he tells him that's the remains of the dog, okay? And he'll sell it to him." He goes, "Then when we bury these dogs, they'll buy a plot. They have a cemetery out there in this property, you know, a dog cemetery, okay? And they real headstones, all kinds of shit. Well, these people buy these plots for these dogs, man, all right?" Well, anyway, what they do after the funeral, I mean, it's like an actual regular human funeral. I mean, they have a wake. They have all that shit, man. I mean, it's fucking nuts what people will spend for a fucking dog or a cat, whatever. Anyway, she goes, well, after it's over, later that night, I come back, dig it back up, and dump the dog in a hole and bury the dog back in a hole without the casket. And I bring the casket out and clean it and put a punch in it so you have time to reuse it. And he goes, that one, that casket you seen me fucking with earlier, it was actually in the ground 56 times. It was sold 56 times, ranging from about $1,500 to $2,000 a time.
Wow.
What a fucking scam. What
but
a fucking scam,
fraud.
Huh?
You know, you can't. It is.
It is fraud.
Yeah, that's a total fraud.
But
it,
he
know,
got by.
Like,
this old man got by with it. He got by with it for years. You know?
Lord.
He never got busted. Nobody ever snitched him out. I never said nothing. You know, in my business, I don't want to get by with shit. But, yeah. Yeah, it's fraud. Fucking right. They do that shit all the time. Like I said, this funeral home this past summer, up in Springfield, Missouri, they now offer fucking dog funeral service, or pet funeral service, even cremation, you know. But you don't know what they're doing once they got that animal. They ain't going to let you back to see what the fuck they're doing. You know what I mean? What better way to fuck you? I mean, mm-hmm. These people, 190 bodies, how are you going to hide that? That don't sound right. You know, that's a lot of fucking bones, man. That's
well,
crazy.
I mean, everybody's looking to fuck everybody, you know. It's the whole.
Oh yeah.
It's the whole.
Yeah.
It's the whole joke from what you call it about how they fuck you with the cell phones, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Lethal weapon.
Yeah, and they
you
fuck
with
you
the
at the drive-thru, Joe Pesci. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
true.
I mean that's.
I mean, look at all the shit that's advertised on fucking YouTube. Now, since I can't block it no more, I mean, they got where I cannot block anything from YouTube. I have to listen to all these goddamn fucked up commercials, you know? And it's bullshit. Like this one fucking big butcher knife thing. This guy comes on, my wife bought me this for fucking Christmas, and I love this fucking knife. Well, I looked up this motherfucking knife. They want $200 for this cock either. All right? So... Oh, fuck me, on overtime, shit, I'm cussing like a fucking
girl. Yeah, but...
Breaking the rules.
Yeah, but just think of how many bodies you can dismember with that knife.
Have you seen it? Have you seen that shit? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I love her so much that I fucking cut her up with it. But anyway, yeah, I clicked on to see what the fuck's like. $200, jeez. If I buy one, you give me one free? That makes no sense. They're probably cheap, junky fucking nerds.
Yeah.
That's well, like you remember KTEL and Ronco, all them old TV advertisements. Oh, Ron Papil, you know the guy that owned Ronco. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Potato slicers, fucking yeah, the Ginsu knives. Yeah, Ron Papil was a fucking hell of an inventor, but he was smart in marketing. He was real smart going on TV. I mean, everything he sold was junk, though. It was all junk. You'd get it to work one or two times for you, and that was it.
The fucking pocket fisherman thing.
Now, that's a different
yeah.
story. Look, man, I own some of those. I actually have some pocket fishermen that I found at auction in the original boxes, okay? The original shit. I think I got them for like $1 a piece. These stupid motherfuckers. I walked to my truck, and I told everybody, I said, you know what, Alan? These people have got to be so fucking stupid. Do you know what one of these motherfuckers is worth right now? One of these pocket fishermen. He goes, no. It's about $75. And in the original carton, they're worth $100, you know? If it's the original one, that's the thing that's got to be zero. They do still make them, but they're not like the original one. The original one, and when I was younger, well, I had one. I bought one of the pocket fishermen for $9.99 plus $4.95 for shipping and handling. I did buy one. And I fished that motherfucker for a long time. I caught a lot of fish with it. It's crazy. It was a crazy fucking item. The pocket
mm-hmm.
fisherman. It was awesome. But anyway, yeah, the pocket fisherman. You're right, Mike. That was a good one.
Yep.
What was the other one he sold? He sold all kinds of shit. He mostly targeted women. Kitchen gadgets was his main thing, you know.
Yeah. They had a couple... Like an onion slicer or something like that, or
or they had the, oh, no, but better yet, Ron, the inside the eggshell egg scrambler.
Right.
And the pocket fisherman?
Yep, the box. Yeah, we talked about that. And Ronco is still in business. Ronco Incorporated is still in business. Let's see what products they have here.
Hey, I'm going to inject here for just a minute. We have about 8 minutes left of the live broadcast. Time flies, doesn't it? So
yep.
If you are out there and you're listening and you want to keep on listening as we go into overtime, call in within the next 8 minutes, 563-999-3698, and you can come back and listen or press 1. That'll raise your hand, and I can bring you on into the conversation. But, yeah, we will be going into overtime here in a little less than 8 minutes. So call now, and then also make sure to tune in to all of the great shows that are here on Blog Talk Radio. Besides my own, of course, we have Sally's show, American Statesman, on Mondays, which is 4 p.m. Eastern time. We have Joe Gibson, who has his regular show on Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern time. But then he does some periodically during the week as well, so stay tuned for him. And then, of course, we got Ron Reck, who will throw on a show usually late night. So keep an eye out for him.
What's the name of the show?
Ron Reck, Crazy Nation Radio.
There you go.
Jim Clark, he usually does a show midweek, late night, usually Tuesday through Thursday or so. He usually does his 11 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're up late, you can usually find him. And then, of course, Fridays, I co-host with Robert, Conservative Nation Media. That is at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Fridays. And then Saturdays is Beyond the Mainstream, Donnie's show, also at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there to be listening to, a lot of great conversations, a lot of great hosts. So make sure to tune in for all of those shows. And and it looks like we got somebody raising their hand here. And I think it might be Daniel or Kathy raising their hand. So I'm going to go ahead and bring you all on in. Hey, who do we got?
You've got Daniel and Kathy.
We got you both. Good. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm so glad, man.
George.
I've been listening to your show. It's been a great show. I really enjoy hearing everybody's ideas and what they have to say. You got some good people on there.
Except for Ron Reck, of course.
Well,
you know.
I
was going to say, who's this lady talking about? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Ideas on a lot of subjects that Lorianne does not bring up. Yeah. We kind of get off on tangents sometimes.
Well, you are a tangent. You need medical help, and I know that. Anyway, I was talking about Ronco Corporation. They were the first ones to sell the rotisserie grill. Remember those? The very first one. You know, you stick your chicken in it and roast and all that shit. That was Ronco did that. But also, the pocket fisherman is still available through Ronco, but it's a little different than the original one, but it still looks the same. They're $40, and they got the 20-piece kitchen knife set, $29. Dehydrator, Fry Trade dehydrator, $40. They have three models of the rotisserie thing: the Showtime Modern Rotisserie Grill Black, or Rotisserie Modern Rotisserie Grill Stainless Steel, $169 piece. They're sold out, believe it or not, already for Black Friday. But then they have the Showtime Easy Store Rotisserie Red Black Stainless. And another Bi-Trade beef jerky machine for $35, and the Ronco Fisherman and the Magic White 5-pack for $14.99. That's all they got for selling one. So anyway, there you go. So the famous guy, Ron Papil.
Yep.
If you go to their site, customer care, about us, recipes, and videos. Shop all products. Free ground shipping, orders $50 or more. All right. See you, Mr. Papil. I think he's dead. I don't know if he's still alive. Never seen him on TV. You want to watch TV, so I have no idea.
You know what? During that COVID lockdown and everything, people couldn't get out shopping and everything. They were doing all their shopping online, ordering everything.
Yes, ma'am.
And they're still doing it.
Yes, ma'am. Stuck in it. Stuck in the order. You know, it's easy. Why? Price of gas. Oh, my God. Do I spend $5 a gallon to go to Walmart or just get it to me here for free? Yep, to me. I'm good at it, too. I'm notorious for this. I love Amazon. I do. I love it. I love eBay. I've always loved eBay, you know. Sometimes I fell out of love with it a couple times. I got some bad shit, but not very often, you know. So it's been pretty good. Ones I don't shop
at
is like Walmart.
I saw the Black Friday, just this past Black Friday, is record online sales, you know. So it's like, yeah, all the malls and everything are empty, but everybody's doing all their shopping online. And,
it's kind of one of those habits.
That have stuck.
Right. Well, my show, did you show last night? Was it last night in the show? I played a video of guys that are going to one of these big box stores, and there's nobody there. On Black Friday, nobody. Best Buy, nobody there. I'm like, oh, shit.
If we hadn't had the lockdown, would we still be ordering everything online? If we had been able to get out and shop like normal, you know, would it be like it is now where everybody orders online now?
I would say probably, but my point of that, too, is what I look at is the fact the price of fuel. And then the hassle of dealing with fucking retarded people, because people aren't retarded. You know, I mentioned this on my show a long time ago. I was in Walmart with my assistant, and I said, man, welcome to the land of tard. You know, self-checkout, welcome to the land of tard. And he just looked at me as you or something else. He goes, why do you come up with all these key things like you say, you know, like sheeple, you came up with that one. I said, yeah, well, so this is coming to my mind. It's reality. It's just the simple reality things. And that's what it is. You've got two factors here. One, people don't want to get COVID because they say COVID's back. So we don't want to go around people because we're scared. They're the boogeyman. And so we won't go shop for that. Then also the price of the fuel and, you know, and less hassle dealing with fucking people. So, you know, people became very selfish nowadays.
They got
used to staying at home and doing shit.
Why do the grocery stores, okay, you know, we're this far along after the pandemic, and why do the grocery stores still have all of their, you know, plexiglass up? You know, like, wherever I've seen, it's like, once they put up, like, they don't want to give those up either. Plexiglass is still there, you know. What is it really protecting us from? You know, it doesn't make much sense. Like, why wouldn't they take that down? Why keep that in place? I don't get it.
Well, I have to say something very rude, and we are offline off your main thing, right? So I can do this, okay? Even though I break tools, I don't care. You know, I'm a bad person. Anyway, I was at a checkout thing, and COVID's been over, right? And they had this big plexiglass panel between me and the checker. You know what I mean? And I knocked on it, you know, a little bit. I said, why is this still up? And she goes, well, you know, because of COVID. I said, well, COVID's over. She goes, well, I don't really know. I said, I know why. You got bad breath caused by gingivitis. It took her a minute to catch it, but goddamn, did she get mad. I should tell you how the story, sir. I said, Karen, come on. It's all right. I'm good. You know, it'll be all right. I essentially pissed that lady off. Yeah.
Hey, we got Donnie in the house raising his hand. Donnie, you must have heard me give the announcement about going into overtime. So I saw you raise your hand in the switchboard.
And by the way,
how
are you doing? By the way, another one of Ron Rex's big things is the story about Little Johnny. Right, Ron?
Yeah. That's reality, though. The story about little Johnny's reality. What's coming to you soon. You're going to like it. You ain't going to have no choice but to like it. You're going to own nothing and be happy about it. So.
Yeah, Lori Ann,
go for it. What's up?
Okay.
Yeah, Kathy. Yeah.
The other day, I got a phone call out at my mom's from Publishers Clearinghouse. We have won $2.8 million. And all we have to do is go down to the Walgreens and get a government registration for $300 and send it to them.
Sure. And how many magazines do you have to buy as well? You know, I'm sure that you're obligated to buy a bunch of magazines too, right?
Of course. They had a thick accent, okay? But what got me, you know, I thought, man, this is my brother's kind of phone call, because these calls you get with these thick accents, I mean, he really gets nasty with these people, you know. But go to Walgreens and get a government registration for $300 and send it to them. You know, I didn't know the government had anything to do with Walgreens, but apparently they think they do. But mm-hmm. I let my brother handle it. he always gets nasty with them. Yeah, he talks about their mothers and their sisters and stuff like that.
What?
You guys,
what? Why would you say things like that?
Yeah.
Why would you say things like that to those poor people? They don't know any better. Here's how they call me, too. They call me talking shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I asked them a couple questions. Don't I get am I right to ask a couple questions? And so this one guy called one time, you know, I'm trying to help you for your burial expenses. We could do this for you, and you could help your loved ones when you pass on. You could leave them some money. I said, well, okay, do you kiss your mom with that mouth? He said, yes, I kiss my mother. I love her very well. So how do I taste?
Well, I think what my brother says to him is a lot worse than that, though.
I feel better now.
Yeah.
When he throws up their mothers and their sisters, their daughters, you know, they usually hang up on him when he starts on that.
Yeah. Well, I love my fake names. The other thing about them, you got to be at least 65 years, you know, to take the bullshit, and you got to have A and B, Medicare, and all that shit. Most of them, you know, try to tell you that bullshit. But I watched this movie. It was Robin Williams and Nathan Lane called The Birdcage, all right? I don't know if you all ever seen this movie. It's a funny movie. I thought it was great. Yeah. Nathan Lane did excellent. You know, he is gay, but he did a good job in that movie. So did Robin Williams. Anyway, the guy that played the houseman, Agador, okay, the butler, whatever, houseman. All right. Anyway, they called him Agador Spartacus, right? Well, that's the name I use to these motherfuckers, all right? And I live on 134 Cherry Lane in Branson, Missouri. Okay, I got the zip code. I got the year and date to make me 65 years old, and they buy it. They buy it. Anyway, but what happens, they'll say, well, do you have your Medicaid card with me? I say, well, no, I don't have one right now, but I can go get it. Would you give me a minute? I'm just hanging on. Oh, yes, I'll wait for you. Okay, thank you. I'll be right back. I'll set the phone down. Now wait till I hang up. I'm going to fucking...
See how long they'll stand by for.
The
longest one was 15 minutes. One stand for 15 fucking minutes. Like, you know, I came back. I thought, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still
here. Well, I can't find my card. I have to look in the other room. You're on the way. I can't wait no more. Okay. Did I have someone cuss me out, dude? You know, call me no good motherfucker. You know.
This other one.
I do have a Skype number that I'm bringing on in. Let's find out who we got here. Hey, Skype number, who do we got?
Bet it's hard.
Oh, I'm just listening and I'm kind of tuning in until the overtime.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's
festivities start.
It's already after.
Hey there, Sarge. I thought it might be you.
I did,
I'm just chilling.
I did, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good show on Donnie's show last night until...
Blog Talk hung up. I did listen to it, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, what happened with that? I thought I was planned because it was so precipitous.
I was listening to Donnie.
That is the way it normally happens, is it?
Mm.
I wasn't planned.
Too much information
didn't
have the people.
Too.
That's what it was.
My mom, dad came home from the tavern, and here I came after that 9 months later. One trip to the bar fucked up the world. But here I am.
Yeah.
I was on the phone for over 4 hours with my best friend in Minnesota, and so that's why fading. But then I used my cordless phone to dial in, because before the switchboard would go dead. And by the time I hung up with my best friend, then my cordless phone was fast, busy beeping, and so I'm like, uh-oh. And then I saw in the chat that BTR decided to drop everybody, but I did go back and listen to what I missed on the show. I usually don't miss the show in its entirety,
Is my cousin Daniel on right now, Lorianne?
Hey, Donnie.
Hi, Kathy. I just want to know if Daniel's listening.
Yeah.
Well, tell him, did he have a dream of fourth down and 41 yards to go with 30 seconds to go in a game?
Okay.
I mean.
Okay, you little smart aleck. We don't want to hear about the football. Like a effing Yankee.
Fourth and 41, and you lose the game.
Daniel,
now we have Donnie with sports.
I'm sorry, but that was an amazing play and an amazing game.
Why
I thought Auburn would win.
And smart off about it and do it on Lori's show.
Oh, sorry there, dear.
What's wrong with me, Mom? It's only people. You know, I blame people. What did you get?
It was, Donnie. It was a great game.
It was a great game.
Especially the fight
that broke. And I was really hoping Alabama would lose because I don't think they have a good team.
No, you weren't.
Yeah. Hey, Auburn played their ass off. It was an awesome game.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Okay, back to you, Lorianne. I just wanted
back
to
put
a little knife somewhere. And go Michigan, go blue. Don't forget that.
I hear you, buddy.
I'll have to make more room in my description for one more rule. No talking sports.
All right. I'll shut up. I want to call my best friend and talk for 10 hours.
And we don't even agree on politics a lot of times.
And that's true. Nice to hear from all you guys. I'll sit back and listen.
Are you feeling better, Donnie?
It's all right. I got to give you a hard time. But, yeah, you're sounding better than you did last week, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You were sick as a dog last week.
Yeah, I'm all right now.
Good.
Someone told me to get well, and I had to do what she tells me.
Lorianne, do all these guys know that me and Donnie are first cousins?
Isn't she lucky?
Yeah, I was going to say, you have my sympathies.
Well, will you still be first cousins after the divorce? I don't get it. What am I?
I don't know how that works. I'll let you know.
We can get mad at one another, and we love each other the next hour, the next day.
Get some counseling. You'll be all right. You'll work out there.
We don't need counseling down in the south.
Yeah, that's right. We don't.
Last time I talked to my attorney, I said, well, if I divorce my wife, Will she still be my sister? He goes, yeah, she will. I said, fuck.
Oh, God. That's good.
I like that.
That is bad.
I thought I'd hear them all.
We're getting demented now.
I live
maybe
close
I
to the Arkansas border. I live close to the Arkansas border. I live in the woods. So nobody can see what I really do. But anyway.
There you go. Where's Bianchi?
Hey, I had a customer one
Bianchi
time. I had a customer come myself one time, run his fucking mouth. He's from the city somewhere. I think he's from California. And I was trying to be as cool as I could with this guy, just, you know, trying to be calming down, everything like that. He's really running his mouth at me, you know. I said, you know what, sir, can I tell you something? Motherfucker, there ain't no witnesses out here, so I think you might resort yourself to being a little more calm and cooler. Because there is no fucking witnesses out here, bro. You know, you're fucking 30 miles away from civilization.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's going to hear you even fucking scream out here. So I would get your shit straight, bro. Don't come walk in the fucking woods and you're going to tell the bears to move the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Right.
He finally caught on. You know, he did get, oh, Lord. I let my mouth overload my ass, you know. I can't stand people like that. I really can't. I was about to push this fucking car out of the fucking street, let the state come get it, call state police. Hey, this motherfucker's car just rolled up in the street, blocking traffic. Yeah. And I have done it before. I've done it to people. I couldn't help it. Don't come into my shop running your motherfucking mouth at me, man. Bet you get them.
Just see. I've been wondering what happened to What's-Her-Face. What's-Her-Face, I follow her on YouTube, and I usually play her stuff because she usually puts out a video once a week, and she's been absent for a couple of weeks, but I did just see that she dropped a new video. So I thought I would play that real quick because I'm curious. I've been without my What's-Her-Face for a couple of weeks. So I thought maybe I would inject. Let's see what she has to say. She usually does a pretty good job of giving the rundown of more, you know, screwed up news and stuff like
she
that.
She one of the women's
you know,
lives
all the stuff
like
that we
that.
Don't talk about.
Women's live and all that shit, one of them kind of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh,
no,
great.
I'm kidding.
Great. That's great.
I kind of, you know, no, she's good. She always does good stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. It's 11 minutes, and I'm going to play it while I can, and then we can continue our discussions afterwards. But this is a good time to go get a drink, let the dog out, let the dog in, whatever you guys got to do while you listen to this clip. But this is What's-Her-Face. Follow her on YouTube. Let's see what she has to say for her weekly update.
But you don't want me to tell you what it is.
Okay. Probably not. All right, so here we go. 3, 2, 1, and go.
A freak accident is mistaken for a terrorist attack. Canadians stop caring about climate change. And the newest savior of the Western world is announced, who this time will definitely probably save us. Welcome to the Weekly Roundup, where we cover the most diabolical yet hilarious news of the week. Our top story today, after days of media reports of a terrorist attack on Rainbow Bridge, it turns out that the alleged bombing was nothing more than a traffic accident.
Watch this video of a car soaring through the air at a border crossing, setting off a deadly explosion seen in this verified video circulating online that put the U.S. and Canada on alert on the busiest travel day of the year.
I've never seen anything like this. The car just exploded.
That car speeding through the Rainbow Bridge, which connects New York to Canada near Niagara Falls, slamming into a Border Patrol checkpoint.
Yo, oh my God, are they all right?
A fireball engulfing the car, killing the driver and passenger inside, according to authorities. Tourists uncertain what happened, rushing for shelter.
Police have not confirmed who was driving at the time of the accident, but I think we can all assume who it was. This was no act of terrorism. This was a simple act of woman driving, which technically is the same thing. Honestly, this looks like a regular Tuesday at my local HomeSense parking lot. Surprisingly, this isn't the worst thing to happen to a driver this week. A man from Stony Creek, Ontario, has been informed that a new battery for his electric car could cost him $50,000.
Simrat Such is still feeling the pain over what recently happened with his electric vehicle.
I had an EV light come on. I had taken it to the shop. They couldn't find anything wrong.
But there was indeed a problem.
2 weeks after that, the vehicle stopped charging.
The dealership in Hamilton said he needed the battery replaced. The quote stunned him.
I was provided a quote at $50,000.
Between the battery installation and taxes, it totaled just over $50,000.
Felt like I got kicked in the privates.
Well, it's a good thing the soy-based diet of an electric car driver makes those privates real easy to miss. Speaking of things that will be missed, it turns out that Canadians no longer care about climate change. Once a critical factor in elections, polls now show Canadians just want to be able to afford things. You mean to tell me that Canadians just want to exchange money for goods and services? Capitalist pigs. In a recent Angus Reid Institute survey, Canadians were asked which political party they would prefer to manage the country's climate change file. The winner was the Conservative Party of Canada. What's more, respondents were endorsing a version of the Conservative Party that has very explicitly not prioritized climate change. And if the polls are to be believed, none of this is holding back the Tories' massive surge in popularity. After years of received wisdom that a Conservative could not become Canadian Prime Minister without an aggressive emissions plan, Polyev is on course for one of the biggest landslides in the country's history. You know, this is all to be expected. When people have things too good, they take pleasure in the leisurely activity of inventing problems. But when things get bad, they return to prioritizing the things they once took for granted. You know, things like eating food and not getting murdered on the subway. But of course, none of the cowards who took part in this survey will openly voice their concerns outside of an anonymous poll. They'll just continue to observe the destruction of their country while waiting for the next demagogue to save them. Demagogues like this guy. This is Javier Milei, the new president of Argentina. He's the newest global savior of the generation who watched one too many superhero movies.
Al zurdo de mierda no le podés dar ni un milímetro.
Pero, ¿me podés definir zurdo de mierda? Que no
todos
lo
los que, digamos, los colectivistas, los que ponen, digamos, o sea, esa idea. A ver,
¿por qué le pones de mierda, digamos?
Porque son una mierda. O
pero
sea,
vos mezclás,
si, no, pero
es
que si pensás,
pero no, pero digo,
pero si pensás distinto te van a aniquilar. Ese es el punto. Es decir, vos al zurdo no le podés dar un milímetro, porque le das un milímetro y lo toma para destrozarte.
That's funny. You can't give the leftard shits an inch. But what Javier has failed to mention is that he can't give the leftard shits an inch because he's already given his inch to his masters. That's right, it turns out Javier's hair isn't the only thing due for a snip. The Catholic president has publicly expressed his desire to convert to Judaism. Wonderful. There's no one I trust more than a Catholic who openly rejects Jesus Christ. Because denying the Son of God is truly the most effective way to defeat the leftard shits. Just ask freedom-loving Canada, who has just deemed Christmas a discriminatory holiday. A new report from Canada's human rights watchdog says Christmas is a discriminatory holiday rooted in colonialism. The October 23rd report from the Canadian Human Rights Commission called Canada's celebration of Jesus' birth an obvious example of systemic religious discrimination. No one is free until we are all free, the report reads. Many societies, including our own, have been constructed in a way that places value on certain traits or identities to the exclusion of others. For example, white, male, Christian, English-speaking, thin or fit, not having a disability, heterosexual, and gender-conforming. Because of this, many people are facing various forms of discrimination. But former Conservative MP Nina Gruhl disagrees. She says what makes Canada great is that people are free to believe, celebrate, and practice the faith they choose without worrying about offending others, Christianity and Christmas included. Really? I thought what made Canada so great was that we'll never be hit by a nuclear bomb because there's no one willing to deliver one this far north. Well, that and this.
So maybe you've seen this tweet about a new anti-white exhibit at the Vancouver Art Gallery. The exhibit is actually so much worse than this tweet, and I know because I went there. Predictably, it tells you to check your privilege. It puts a halo that says undeserving over your head. Stop talking, put the mute button over your mouth. But then it gets downright schizophrenic. There's this exhibit display where it argues that because Roman and Greek sculptures had fluffy curly hair, they were not white. You are then afforded the opportunity to use the Aryan recognition tool and compare your facial measurements with the facial measurements of the leaders of the Third Reich.
Damn! If that's the typical facial structure of an SS soldier, then smack my ass and call me Ava. I'm just kidding. What makes Canada so great is how nice we are. We're so nice, in fact, that in an invasion, our biggest concern is ensuring the invaders feel welcome. Every conversation with a Canadian these days sounds like this. I don't mean to sound homophobic, but I don't know that my son needs to be reading such sexually explicit material in the second grade. I don't mean to sound transphobic, but I just don't think it's fair that there's a boy on my daughter's swim team. I'm not racist, but I just really miss the days when my child could walk to school without running the risk of being stabbed by an Algerian migrant.
Oh, God.
Which is exactly what happened in Ireland this week, a crime that led to riots across Dublin. Mass riots swept Dublin, Ireland Thursday night in the wake of several stabbings in the city's Parnell Square. Ireland Police Superintendent Liam Garrity told reporters a 50-year-old male is the prime suspect in the stabbings, which injured five people, including a 5-year-old girl, a 5-year-old boy, and a 6-year-old girl. The 5-year-old girl sustained serious injuries and was undergoing emergency medical treatment. If you think this is bad, wait till you see how the Washington Post framed this story. Far-right protesters burn and loot in Dublin in worst violence in decades. Right-wing protesters, angered by a stabbing attack they believed had involved someone of immigrant background, rampaged through central Dublin on Thursday night, leaving behind a trail of burning destruction. People the police later described as far-right protesters disrupted the crime scene, chanting anti-immigrant slogans, and took to the streets of Dublin, setting vehicles ablaze and clashing with police. The rioters did not do what they did out of any sense of patriotism, however warped. They did so because they are filled with hate. Irish government said in response that it would modernize its laws against hatred for the social media age, and it would also introduce legislation related to CCTV access for police. Varadkar sought to reassure Ireland's immigrant community, saying the country would be vastly inferior without immigration. He told a news conference that being Irish is more than saluting the tricolor and beating your chest and pointing to where you were born. He said it means living up to ideals represented by our flag and acting with compassion. Compassion for everyone but your white Irish neighbors. Obviously. I want to remind you that the Washington Post is the same media publication that deemed the BLM riots, which were caused by the overdose of a crackhead criminal and resulted in billions of dollars in damage and killed over a dozen people, overwhelmingly peaceful. And did they call for compassion for the police as they face backlash for the highly sensationalized story? No, they did not. What they did do was use the fabricated story as an excuse to advocate for the abolishment of every mostly peaceful police officer in the nation. Funny how that works. All right, guys, that's it for me today. If you like this video, please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out some other videos from my channel. Also, if you want to support me and this channel, please consider subscribing to my Patreon. I post 2 long-form videos there every month. And one more thing. How do you guys like my new setup? I just moved in, so there's going to be a lot of changes behind me, but I am now in my mountain house. What do you guys think? You can see my ring light in the reflection, but I got a window. I got a window behind me now, and it's not a basement window. It's an above-ground window. That's how you know you're moving on up in the world. I am fucking freezing.
Okay. So that was What's Her Face. I always love her stuff. You know, she's definitely one of those sarcastic people. But yeah, I don't think a whole lot, there's been a whole lot of mention about what went on in Ireland with the rioting and everything that's gone on. You know, but I think that, you know, it opens up the door for a conversation about just, you know, uncontrolled immigration, and it's not just the United States that is experiencing the blowback from that, but it's just about everywhere. You know, European countries, Scandinavian countries, you know, this unchecked immigration, you know, this flooding of all these people, they're realizing the effects of that, and we're starting to see it happen more and more and more. What do y'all think? What do y'all think of the video or anything else that she brought up?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, she's right about Canadians being too nice. You know, oh, hi, we'll let you come in here and do whatever. You know, but again, if the Canadians are going, well, you know, we're getting tired of this communist shit, you know, maybe at some point, because being Canadian really doesn't help you, because we have she was a friend of ours that used to be on BDR at one point by the name of Kel, that due to her being a Canadian, she's dead now because of their medical system over there. All right, so I just can't, until they have to prove, show me that you're going to change. Is it bad enough yet in Canada? Show me you're going to change.
Guys? Well, I think if they get a conservative to replace Trudeau, that would be, like, momentous news. Because we all know how one-world-ordered dictator Trudeau is.
Trudeau. You mean Castro Jr.
Yeah. I like the way she presented stuff, Lori. I did. I mean, it's comical. It's all comical, you know. But I did see a video, yesterday. These refugees in New York City, it's almost 200,000 of them right now. It's not quite, maybe 170,000 or something. But Adams, they've got an area outside of New York. It's out in the middle of nowhere, okay? And it used to be maybe a military base or something. The concrete and everything is still there. They put a refugee camp up. They've got hundreds of beds. It's a tent city or something. They've got outdoor bathrooms, you know. Okay, so these people, refugees in New York, they come. The men can only be sheltered for like 30 days. They're using the Roosevelt Hotel, you know, for a lot of these refugees. And they can only stay there for 30 days, and then they move them someplace else. The families can stay for 60 days. All right, so they bust a bunch of these people way out there in the middle of nowhere to this camp. Well, they wouldn't even get off the bus. You know, they saw what it looked like, and they got back on the bus. But when they get back to the city, they've done lost their lodgings. You know, they're on their own. They're either going to have to move to another city, but New York has also offered them a plane ticket free to send them to another country. You know, they can go to another country, a one-way ticket. But I thought that was interesting, the way New York is handling this.
I thought the ticket was just to another city.
Well, that video that I saw said to another country. Now, they can go to other cities if they want to, but they're on their own. You know, New York, if they refuse to stay at this refugee camp, then they've lost their lodgings. You know, they can't go back to the Roosevelt Hotel. I mean, they're on their own. They can't refuse it, but they are. Said the video said that a lot of them slept in the lobby of the hotel. You know, they don't want to stay at that camp because it's so far away. There's no town or anything around there. You know, it did say that some of these refugees had little jobs and they were working. And now if they agree to stay at this refugee camp, they have no transportation back to the city. And the kids that have been put in school in that district, they have no transportation back to the city to go to school. So, I mean, they're just going to have to go back home, you know.
Dude, 11 million people have come across in the last 18 months. 11 million, that's insane.
If they're giving them a one-way ticket back to the country, back to the other country, they're basically deporting them, aren't they?
I would think, but it's a one-way ticket free to any country, you know, any country. They're just trying to get rid of them, sounds like, trying to get them out of New York. Any country they can go to. So.
Right.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. I thought I'd share that with y'all.
Well, where are they sleeping at? I mean, all these people, they had 200,000 of them in the streets of New York, extra people. You already had a homeless problem there already in the city of New York. It's cold out up there. I mean, where are they sleeping at? I mean, the homeless shelters are slam-packed all the time up there, and I just don't understand where they are, where they're going, what they're doing. I just don't understand it.
Got them in hotels like the Roosevelt for 30 days for a single person, 60 days for a family. They put them up in the hotels, and then they move them where this one refugee camp that they don't want to go to, but they move them someplace else. So I don't know.
Something else is going on. I wonder if some kind of eugenics program is going on where a bunch of them are getting snagged. Who knows? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, 200,000. Where the hell are they? 200,000, that's a pretty big hotel. You know, I mean, obviously they're not taking the whole 200,000 of them because that's 200,000 going to New York City. But where are that? That's a lot of people.
Not just that one, not just the Roosevelt. There's other hotels, too.
It's just in
fiscal year, I'm looking it up, just for fiscal year 2023, New York City has spent $1.45 billion to help migrants, going mostly towards shelter and food and other services. So that's just this one year.
What about our people?
Last August, the Mayor Adams estimates that it's going to cost New York City $12 billion. the estimate, I'm looking it up, let's see.
Oh, here's one right here. Man was killed during a illegal brawl at illegal alien camp in Denver. So these camps are all over the country.
They are. These refugee camps. Tent cities, you know. But, you know, New York is a sanctuary city. You know, they should be making provisions for these people.
Yeah, I guess in New York City, it's estimated that it will cost $12 billion between 2023, 24, and 2025. That's a lot of money for a city to cough up, you know. And, you know, for all of these illegal people coming in, you know, wouldn't it be nice if that $12 billion was spent to, I don't know, take care of our homeless veterans, our disabled veterans, maybe homeless mothers with their children, because homelessness is becoming like a bigger and bigger problem. And it isn't just, you know, your drug addicts out there, okay? I mean, with the economy the way it is, homelessness is becoming more and more of a problem. And the increase in numbers of mothers with children being homeless and veterans, you know, it's one of those things where, but, you know, you know, we'll spend a fraction on helping people that are already here, American citizens, and especially veterans that have served this country. But, you know, fork over $12 billion over the next 3 years for accommodating all of these illegal people that have crossed the border seeking asylum or whatever, and accommodating all of them. You know, I would be willing to bet that there's some homeless vets that would absolutely love to stay in a suite at one of those New York hotels.
Yeah.
Instead of in a tent, you know, in the winter, freezing their fucking ass off. You know, that would be really nice for them. That would be a treat, you know. And and it still makes me sick when it was the men, the illegal men that were protesting outside of the hotel because they were getting kicked out so that they could make room for women with children to be housed in those rooms. So these chump ass motherfuckers, you know, were protesting getting kicked out, you know, these men, because those rooms needed to be given to women with children. I mean, come on now, you know, this is what you want, you know, this is what, you know, this is the kind of people that you're bringing in and welcoming in with open arms, you know, these chump-ass motherfuckers, you know, come on.
But you know something else that's really, really, really another horror thing? I think a lot of people ain't really concerned about this, in addition to all the other horrors that this unstoppable wave of illegal immigration is causing. Not only is the coward pivot strategy in full force here, they're trying to bankrupt the system by overloading it and not making it unable to live up to its commitments. Not only are they packing Democrat states to assure they won an election with more electoral votes because they have more representatives in Congress, but it is now going to be near impossible to resist demands for more socialism from the population in the United States when these bastards that govern us are giving money to illegal aliens. How are you going to resist giving? How are you going to be able to resist the call to just give subsidies and monies to American citizens? I say to you, you can't. And that's how we're going to get socialism. Well, you gave it to the illegals. How come you don't give it to us? We could get it for ruin.
Exactly.
I guarantee you that.
And,
ruin.
I do have Cinnamon raising her hand. She's been keeping back listening, but I do see she raised her hand, so I'm going to bring Cinnamon on in. She might have a comment. Hey, Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Welcome on
hey.
In.
I read an article, and I can't remember which newspaper, and it was just this weekend, that besides Chicago wanting to – most of the citizens want to put it on the ballot. They want to stop being a sanctuary city. They want that referendum off the books. And a lot of the migrants that end up in Chicago are going back home. There was two different families that they interviewed, and one was a single mom and a grandma and the kids, and one was a mom, dad, and the kids. And pretty much what they said is the American dream that they were sold is not here, is not able to be here. He said, the gentleman said, I don't know if it's because so many of us are coming at the same time and, you know, everything can't happen for everybody all at once. He said, I can be poor. He said, that way we can be by my family. He said, I still have my mom and her mom are still back there. They couldn't get the kids in school. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't even get in line to get the papers to start working. And they kept moving them from shelter to shelter, and winter was coming up. And he said, so what they told me what I was going to get when I got here was a lie. He said, so I'm going back home, and we're going to try it the best way we can there. He said, they may go to Mexico. But he was from, I think he was from Venezuela.
That's good.
Where's conservatism in this?
conservatives should be sending out a message to these migrants who's finding the reality that the Democrats lied to you. Joe Biden lied to you.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah,
that is a good message over here. Yep.
Again, this is how, I don't want to say inexperienced or how unsavvy the Republican side is right now, is that that's exactly what they should be doing to these thing to these people, and they're not doing it. That's the thing. They're not, I won't say playing the game, but they're not setting the rules. That's a rule that needs to be set, is that, you know, you guys are coming here for a better life. Well, because of so many of you guys coming here, you may not get your better life.
Well, some of these Republicans, go ahead, Sandy. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That was the thing that the single mom and grandma said. They said they came mostly to try and get the American dream, but they also came for safety. And she said they feel less safe about their kids in Chicago right now and in the last 2 months that they'd been here than they did back at home.
You guys miss Joe Biden when he bragged about his balance opposed
to
illegal immigration?
Transportation nowadays.
Well, you guys must have missed that then, that when Joe Biden said that he's got a balanced approach to illegal immigration, he said that includes enforcing our borders. Listen to this now. Wait for it. Here it goes. Increasing reparations and opening a certain number of legal pathways for migrants. He's talking about, he's implying reparations for illegal aliens. Think about that for a minute.
What reparations do we owe them?
You know, I mean,
as Joe Biden, they're your president. Your president said that in a speech. Is anybody going to ask him what he means?
Well,
Republicans ain't worth a damn. It's useless to ask him. Your Republicans, even with the ones with the popular names, they're not worth a damn anymore. They're about as useless as a bag with a hole in the bottom.
The problem is he may say something. Sarge, the problem is this alleged president may say something now, but 10 minutes later, he don't know what the hell he's saying.
Here's the problem, boss. This is what happened. One of his aides, one of the people, one of his puppet string pullers that pulled his senile puppet strings was talking about it, and he couldn't quite remember it right. See, you got to remember, he doesn't run anything. We know that. The people that run him run it, and they're the ones talking about this stuff, and he gets in his addled head, and everything gets jumbled around.
Yep.
That's why it comes out the way it does.
Every time there's this thing that they call the replacement theory, all right, we will replace them. Talking about demographic destiny, right? We will replace them. That's what this invasion. Yeah.
Why don't you say it like it is? They're talking about replacing whites. That's what they're talking about. You don't heard it? You don't see for the last 3 or 4 years the attack on white males, calling them every damn thing from ticket torches to white supremacists. That's what they're talking about.
Yep.
I got news for you. They're already replaced black people. Yeah, now they're working on white males in particular. And let me tell you something else about this thing, man. I mean, it's like this thing's got Joe Biden himself not too long ago admitted to the replacement theory, but he said it was a good thing. Remember? He said it. These people are saying it out loud, and I don't know. Maybe it's such a horrible thing that these people are voicing. A lot of them just tune it out like they didn't actually say it. He's admitted to the replacement theory, but he said it's a good thing for the United States that American citizens of whatever hue are being replaced.
Yeah, but the problem is that when you know, people like MSNBC and CNN hear it, they say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, the hell it is. It's not a conspiracy when these people are saying it. You know, when people like Biden, people like that are saying this stuff, how can it be a conspiracy theory?
Not only are they saying it,
and even worse, when the evidence is ineluctably true, they say it's good that it's happening. That's just it. And that's heads you win, heads we win, tails you lose.
Look what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a two-sided coin. One-sided coin, I mean.
Pionk's trying to say something, and then Joe Gibson, you also just want to get Pionk and Joe Gibson able to comment here.
They're not just only saying it, they're doing it. Look at Minneapolis in the public schools. They're firing, get this, they're firing white teachers with more seniority and refusing to fire the black teachers who have less. And by the way, Sarge, I heard your favorite girl, or you might want to say boy, Michelle, on a PSA, public service announcement, promoting early voting, registering online, mail-in votes, and whatever else they want to incorporate.
They know what their path to victory is, Pionke. I got to admire them for that. They are singularly focused on winning this election by hook or by crook, mainly by crook, and that's what they intend to do. They're letting us know, and it's up to us as to whether or not we're going to allow them to do it.
Well,
they're telling us it's already done. Use the same strategy.
They're telling us it's already done.
But the thing is like gunslingers always said, they never got their hand slapped for 2020. So why would they think they can't do it when they never got their hand slapped?
No,
well,
they keep getting away with it. I mean, if you dare question an election, you are told that you're insane or conspiracy theorist, or you wear tinfoil hats to haberdashery. I mean, these people are shameless, man. I mean, they're getting away with it.
Let's just get Gibson to say something here real quick. Okay.
Joe Gibson's been trying to comment here like three or four times now, so let's give him the floor for a minute.
Thank you, Boyd, you're up next. Well, you know, on American Statesman show the other last week, she had a thing where, you know, called the House Speaker, you know, where she had typed up this thing and emailed it to everybody. And I called live on my podcast show and left them a message. You know, where's the activism? What are we doing out there? We're not doing nothing. You know, we got to get involved. We should be working the phones. We should be sending out the emails. You know, we did a thing for the voting thing 3 months ago. You know, that just fizzled out. You know, again, it's our fault. We have to do something. Every single day, not just once a week, not once a month, every day. We've got to be fighting for this republic. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I went to a poll
and watched a Dropbox. I spent 8 hours of a three-shift watch looking at the 3 hours. Of a ship looking at the boxes, seeing that they didn't make pointing with them, or look what they were stuffing at them. And to my surprise, no one did. But then again, I live in a county where it's relatively free from that kind of shenanigans.
Boyd, you wanted to comment, and then I'm also going to bring Nathan on in, raising his hand here. As a matter of fact, there is only like 10 minutes left before my switchboard goes dead. So I think now would be a good time to not only unmute Nathan, but if you've been kicking back listening, I'm going to unmute you. I got a number I'm going to unmute before my switchboard goes dead. Just stay muted on your end if you don't want to speak up. But I before I lose the ability to. So, hey, Nathan, bringing you on in. Skype caller, stay muted on your end. Was I unmute you on mine? And then go ahead. Okay, so Boyd, I know you were trying to say something. And then, yeah, we're trying to do the round robin here.
Yeah, well, you know, we do have a very serious crisis that is coming up shortly. You know, we're at the rate things are going right now, we're going to run out of conspiracy theories in 2024 at the rate that all these conspiracy theories are coming true.
That's going to be a big problem.
That's all I got to say.
I know, right?
That's all I got to say.
I mean, as creative as we can get, like, let's just make up something, like, really super far-fetched right now. And, you know, we can totally make it up off of our cuff right now. And guess what? A year later, it'll probably turn out to be true, no matter how fucking wild it might be. You know?
I got one for you. I got one for you. How about a case where we got a person who comes from a background nobody really knows, who isn't vetted by anybody in the United States government, who might be involved with CIA interests in Pakistan and Indonesia, whose mother had all kind of weird background going traveling through a foreign nation, who was born of a father we're not even certain, and that guy becomes president of the United States. Now, that's a far-fetched one for you. What the odds of something like that happening? I'll put that up as a wild conspiracy theory that could never come true. What do you got? He also has a counterfeit birth certificate. Couldn't happen, right?
My sister... There's a guy that my sister went to Dallas for the 60th anniversary of JFK's assassination, and she talked with the guy that has confessed to being the shooter on the grassy knoll. There's a documentary about him on that I mean to watch on Prime, saying I killed JFK. And she got to ask him some questions and talk with him a little bit during this, you know, gathering for the anniversary. And I was hoping that maybe she would call in tonight to talk about, like, what she talked about with him. But, you know, so I don't know. Like, this guy is apparently terminally ill. He doesn't think that he has a whole lot longer to live. And talking about his story about how he was recruited by both the mafia and the CIA and their involvement in it, and that he's the one that did the kill shot from the grassy knoll. So what do you think about that? And when I get back to my computer, I'll look up. My sister sent me the link to the documentary on Prime, and I'll put it in the chat room. It's $1.99 to rent it. I'm trying to find it somewhere where I can watch it for free. But I'm kind of curious, and there's a book about it too, you know. So it's like, so is this guy, like, just trying to have, like, some kind of claim to fame, you know, before he dies? Or is this really, like, you know, one of those things where now it's 60 years later and he's talking about it because he's basically going to be on his deathbed soon? Like, I don't know.
Sarge, was that the guy that, remember, it was a guy about 6 months ago that did, he came on my podcast and he was talking about that? I don't know, somebody was, I think you were on there, Sarge, somebody was on there, or you came on late, and he was telling that story, exactly what she's talking about right there.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that, and I remember hearing something about some sort of a media thing about it, too. Maybe if it's true, maybe decide to hide in plain sight, tell the truth and hide in plain sight at the same time. Who knows?
Well, the sad thing about that is, you probably only got 10% of the population that know who the hell John F. Kennedy was.
Yep.
And then here's Gunslinger.
Yeah,
cleaner.
I
can
see
you
Mark Dice doing a thing asking people about, you know, if people even know, like today's youth, do they even know about JFK's assassination? I can just see Mark Dice going around interviewing millennials about it.
Right. Right. Let me say this. I don't know if Gunn's still with us, but he's been there multiple times, been to Daily Plaza multiple times, and he can tell us a little bit about that, a little bit, you know. But if he's not here, I don't know. But yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Migrants are returning to Venezuela. Yep, that's a true story. Yep, there's about several articles about that. They're returning to Venezuela before the winter. Yep.
That's the only way to make them self-deport. You got to make it. You can't make give them a soft, cushy bed to get here. That's the whole point of giving them all this stuff, to make sure that they stay here. If they're going to stay here, they're going to have to be 100% self-supporting. And the problem is, though, we have a political party, and with help from another, that doesn't want it to be that way. They want to give them a soft landing. Oh, and by the way, speaking of JFK, if y'all haven't seen it, go over to Showtime. And it's called JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. It's done by, of all people, Oliver Stone. I looked at it, and I got to admit, he's got me changing my mind like about 160 degrees from what I used to believe. I'm telling you, it's compelling. But the amount of documentation they provide as to the Lee Harvey Oswald and his supposed involvement in it, the stuff they have with government officials at the time, with the shenanigans in the Warren Commission, man, I'm telling you, I changed my mind. You got to see it. It's again, it's on Showtime, and it's called JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. It's an eye opener.
Hell, we can't get people to look at that George Floyd's documentary or the Trayvon Martin.
Yeah. Once the narrative sets in, man, it becomes tends to become locked in stone, especially by our betters who don't want anything to be examined.
Right. And
I did put a link to that in the chat, the fallofminneapolis.com. I put that in earlier. That's been going around. So if you're in the chat room, you can pick that up. I do intend to watch it. My sister initially sent it to me. I do intend to watch that for sure. And then I'm looking up the link that I was talking about with the JFK, I Killed JFK guy that my sister was talking to. With his story, so I'm looking that up right now as well.
You know, here's the deal with it's not Darren Wilson, it's what's his name, Chauvin, who's in that federal prison who got stabbed. If I'm the president, I wouldn't want him in that federal prison, and if he gets killed in that federal prison, you know, that's on the federal government, right? Because it's a federal prison. Whereas you take him out of that situation, he'll end up getting killed. Probably end up getting killed anyway. But you commute a sentence in the federal prison, and you force Minnesota to take him and put him in one of their state prisons. You know. Therefore, what happens is if he gets killed in that prison is Minnesota's problem and not the federal government's problem. You know? Because you know,
I don't think they really
eventually care. Eventually somebody's going to be successful in killing this guy. You know that, right?
Yeah, they're not going to put him in segregation, so yeah, it's going to happen. But you would think that the question would be, how do we keep this man safe in a legal institution for incarceration? What kind of prison system we got? I mean, I know it goes on all the time. I know it does. But, you know, to think that people think that the prison system is supposed to be used for some extrajudicial retribution, I mean, it's kind of common among a lot of people. Well, he goes to jail. Let's hope he gets raped by Bubba, his cellmate. Hey, this is just another example of the whole system, the whole institution, being so corrupted, we can't even count on it to keep people safe in jail. How do we expect them to keep us safe from anything outside of jail?
Right. And outside
of jail, at least he have a crime chance. He have his own damn gun.
Yeah.
Now, as a convicted felon, they didn't want convicted felons to have firearms and defend themselves.
You know, we have to admit, things are so jacked up today, man, I tell you. Every which way you look at it, turn the damn thing sideways, upside down, even over, it's just plain jacked up.
A lot of this stuff goes back to, well, people say there are two different justice systems, but no, there's not two different. There's one set of rules. It's one. It's for the elites and not for us. You know, it's hierarchy. And you got to break that hierarchy or else nothing's ever going to get better. That's why I say, you know, hierarchy means if you're going to go after Trump, can't just go after Trump on some stuff. You got to go after the Clintons, the Gores, the Bushes, Bidens, all these people, the Obamas. Somebody big has to serve some time in jail or come close to it anyway. You know, now will it ever happen? Probably not. But that's what needs to happen. You know, Biden, I don't care. I don't give a damn if he's invalid or whatever the hell he is. He needs to go to jail. You know, Hunter Biden needs to go to goddamn jail. You know, the Clintons have long since needed to go to jail. You know, I could go down the list of these people that need to go to jail. You know, or in some cases, if you can prove it, prove that they've been running a color revolution against Trump, you know, which is basically treason against Trump, you know, hang them, you know?
You know, I guess if there's anybody, I don't normally wish death on anybody, but if Hillary Clinton were to actually go to prison for the whole list of murders and crimes associated, you know, that she's been one person that I'd be like, if somebody went and stabbed her in prison, I'd be like, is that really such a bad thing? But I get your point. You know, prison should be one area, like with the security that they have. You know, these kinds of things shouldn't happen, but they do all the time. I mean,
It is not hard to get stuff into prison. What's the security?
From drugs to weapons to everything else.
Pedophile Island guy about security in a highly secure jail. He's dead.
Listen, they stabbed that guy, that cop that supposedly killed, what's his name? The drug dealer.
Floyd.
Yeah, Floyd.
Yeah, George Floyd.
They just stabbed him in a federal prison. I don't know what his outcome
in Arizona,
in
yeah. And I, last yeah, I get, saw, like, they haven't even updated the family, Siobhan's family, on what's happened last I heard today. So, yeah, they're keeping tight-lipped for some reason. They don't want people to know what exactly happened there.
Well, look, I'm not about to shed a tear for a low life like Hillary Clinton or a lot of other people who, if they go to jail, they might get done in. I would, in fact, privately, I would celebrate it. That's not my point, though. My point is that In the judicial system, the ideal should be the aspiration. The aspiration should be the ideal. In other words, you do it because you want people to have confidence in the judicial system, not because you care about some lowlife who goes there. I mean, you know, I mean, and that's the reason to keep even a piece of shit like Hillary Clinton safe, a whole lot of other people would like to go to jail, because if they can't do it there and won't do it there, where they got all this measure of control over people, how can they do it anywhere else?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Sarge, here's the thing. People are just plain damn ignorant. I gave you that video where Bill Clinton was on at a divorce conference in an interview. And guess what he was talking about? You can pull it up today. He was talking about developing the city of Detroit with Syrian refugees. You hear me? They're going to bring in Syrian refugees to develop Detroit. Now, here's the thing. Hell, Detroit, damn it, 99% black. And no black officials said jack about that. That right there tells you something. There's something wrong with these people.
They hate us. That's it. They hate us. It's kind of hard for us to accept the fact that we've been electing people to office who actively either hold us in contempt or hate us. But they do. Because a lot of us just won't do what they want us to do. That's one of the reasons they hold us in such contempt and hatred. Your actions show it.
I mean, think about this, guys. What's her name? Omar is a fucking Somali, you know. Over there in Minnesota, you know. Then you got that whole city in Michigan that's basically Muslim, you know. That's basically, I believe, Somali as well, or partially Somali, but Muslim nonetheless, you know. And it's like, they've already developed part of Detroit, part of Michigan, to be that.
So you talk about
absolutely. Hamtramck, Michigan, places like that are almost majority Muslim as far as the electorate goes. And let's not even talk about Minneapolis. It's got significant foreign Muslim and Salami enclaves there. So these big Democrat cities are going that way, Ed. If you look at it, that's where they're concentrating them in. That's why they're making it so hospitable for them. They want more electoral votes to win national elections. That's the ticket for them.
Well, I told you,
I was on a radio show. Happened. Look at what happened. I've brought this up, and other people have said no, but When last time they had this problem over there in the Middle East with Hamas, and this is after what's his name passed on or whatever, what happened? Well, Hamas ended up getting elected, and now we got fresh new problems with them, right? That's what happened. You set it up to do that. That's what's going to happen. You got to get people that don't like us that are going to get elected. Rashida Tlaib doesn't like America. You know, what's her name? Omar does not like America. You know, all these people, most of the squad don't like America. All right? Think about it. Jay Paul, what's her name? Fucking Jay Paul. Doesn't like America. They hate America first people. And we can understand why, what's her name? Rashida Tlaib came over, so did Omar. She came over. A few other ones came over. I mean, they're American citizens in name only.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. I mean, and you got to remember, much of what the hatred is based on, a lot of it has to do with envy. Many, one thing about Marxism, man, people who are Marxists, they are really envious. I mean, envy is at the core of much of their hatred toward the various classes that they despise. You look at read Karl Marx and you see his whole life was full of, because he was such a failure. And he came up with an economic theory that would explain his failure. And I mean, it's the same thing with the people in the squad. They hate the country that gave them refuge. I mean, this woman is a refugee.
Yep. Yep.
What is who is talking in the background? Who is talking or what's playing in the background?
Can't be me because I've got my phone muted.
Nathan.
Okay, now it stopped. Somebody must not have realized that they were watching a video and weren't unmuted or weren't muted on their end. Because before my switchboard went dead, I unmuted everybody.
If they're watching the fall in Minneapolis, then we can appreciate that, because the more people who see that movie and get the word out, the better, because that was an absolute total miscarriage of justice, and it is symptomatic of what's happening to the justice system in the United States. The more people that see it, the better.
Yeah, I got to watch it. And, you know, maybe my opinions will change as well in light of new information and stuff. You know, so I'm still kind of on the fence as far as Siobhan and the other officers.
Well,
I still, after, you know, remember watching the videos, and it wasn't just Siobhan, it was the second officer that was on his, you know, when he was on the ground. There was the second officer that had his knee on, you know, his mid-back, and Siobhan, you know, up behind the back. And I think that that, the combination of the two, I mean, when you have the weight of two people on you, on your upper back and your mid-back, restricting your ability to breathe, you know, your diaphragm can't expand, your lungs can't expand, you're against the pavement. And, yes, obviously